Board. I'm Mark Bradford, the new chair of the Central Valley Water Board, and we'll be talking more about that later. I will introduce the other board members in just a minute. We are slowly transitioning out of the COVID-19 emergency. This is a hybrid meeting where some folks will be attending in person here in Fresno, and some will be participating via video conference and teleconference. Thank you in advance for your patience as we make this transition. For people who want to listen or watch the meeting online, the board's customary webcast is available. In addition to meeting attendance here at our location at the Central Valley Board's Fresno office, we are receiving presentations and public comment online through a Zoom meeting platform. If you intend to present or comment online on Zoom, or think you might be interested in commenting, you should already be in the Zoom meeting room using the meeting ID provided on the board's website and the password you receive from our staff. If you have not already received a password, you can email us now at agenda5@waterboards.ca.gov. That email address is agenda followed by the number 5 with no space at waterboards.ca.gov. Include speaker comment in the subject line so we can follow up with you. For those in the Zoom meeting, you will be on mute and your camera turned off until it is your turn to speak. Our meeting host will then unmute you and ask you to turn on your camera if you have one. When you're done speaking and the board members have completed asking questions, you will be placed on mute and your camera turned off. I will now introduce the other board members as follows. To my right is Denise Cadera from Allensworth, Carmen Ramirez of Atwater on my left, Raji Burr from Bakersfield, Sean Yang from Sacramento, Nick Ovdis from Sacramento, and our new board member, Alina Lee Reeder, also of Sacramento. And again, I'm Mark Bradford of Sacramento. State board member Nicole Morgan is participating in this meeting. We'll give an update to the board in a few minutes. And I will now introduce Executive Officer Patrick Palupa, and he will introduce his staff.
Well, welcome everybody to Fresno for the first in-person meeting that we are having in over 2 years. Believe it or not, I know this is for three of our board members. It's the first in-person meeting. I know we have Assistant Executive Officer and at least one attorney that has not attended an in-person meeting before. So welcome everybody. I do want to give extreme thanks to all of our staff, especially our administrative team that has been working so hard and so diligently throughout the pandemic to make sure that the board's business keeps on going, even through all the protocols that we've been operating under for the past couple of years. My name is Patrick Palupa. I'm the executive officer, Central Valley Water Board. Let me introduce to my immediate right, Jessica Yar, senior staff counsel for the board. To her right is Bailey Toft Dupuy, counsel for the board. And to her right is Chris Moskal, also counsel to the board from the Office of Chief Counsel. To Chris's right, we have Adam Lappitz, the assistant executive officer in the Rancho Cordova office. And sitting in the front row, we have JJ Baum, the other assistant executive officer in the Rancho Cordova office. To his right, Clay Rogers, the assistant executive officer who runs this office here in Fresno. And to Clay's right, we have Clint Snyder, who runs the board's offices in Redding. In our team, we are also having a digital team here supporting us here today. Virtually, we have Mindy Maxwell. She is my executive assistant. Will help handle some of the traffic and some of the people who will be commenting both virtually and in person here today. Assisting her is Ralph Salceda. Roberto Moreno in the back has been outfitting all of you with your microphones and cameras and all the gear that we need to succeed here today. And then we also have Janelle Brown is helping out on the hybrid platform as well. Today we are televising, or we are broadcasting with the services of AGP, who are the guys in the back there manning all the computers that are keeping this thing up and running. And with that, I will return to you, Chair Bradford.
Thank you, Patrick. And now it's time for the Pledge of Allegiance, and Carmen's going to lead us through that.
Please stand. Salute and pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Carmen. Time for board member communications. So if any board member have any communications since the last meeting, now's the time. Okay, Nick?
Yeah, thank you, Chair Bradford. On March 3rd, I attended a small grower listening summit in Fresno. And on the 11th, I participated virtually in a dairy ex-party meeting with industry representatives and water board staff. Thank you. Yep.
Sean?
Yeah, I just want to follow up with Nick's participation with the small grower and disadvantaged community in Fresno. I just want to take this opportunity to say that I too attend that event, and I just want to take this opportunity to thank you, Patrick, his staff, especially Sue, and all the agency that was there with all of us. It was a great turnout. And I did a follow-up with Michael, who was our, I guess, the key representative of that group, which is the disadvantaged farmers in the Fresno County area. He was very pleased, and he extended his thanks to all of us. So just want to say thank you. Was a great event.
Well, I do have to say thank you, Sean, for initiating that. It was a fantastic learning opportunity for ourselves. We met with Department of Pesticide Regulation. CDFA was there as well, discussing issues that are exceptionally pertinent to Hmong growers. Some of the growers that we saw down there were raising, I forget how many I could count, about 25 different types of row crops on about an acre and a half of land. Truly extraordinary, the diversity that they have down there, and very difficult compliance issues. Again, my thanks to you, UC Cooperative Extension, who Michael works with, and Sue McConnell, who helped set up some of the event down there. Really appreciate the work that they did to put into it. There's a write-up in the executive officer report about that little meeting. But again, those discussions will certainly tee off more discussions with those growers to make sure that our agricultural program meets their needs.
Thanks. Anybody else have any? Okay, Denise. I figured you would.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. And it is an exciting time just to see all of our board members, our new board member, and all of our staff and all of you. It's great to be in person again. I have participated in several sewer consolidation meetings, discussions that include identifying best approach to provide wastewater treatment to disadvantaged communities in the southwest part of Tulare County. We are also looking at the water systems and with the same approach. I've been working with Dr. Carl Longley, Vice Chair of the State Board, I always get her name wrong, I'm so sorry, Dodamo. And we're looking, it's conceptual at this point, where we're really hoping to move things forward and address the needs of the disadvantaged population. Funding is available, and we want to seize that opportunity to make sure there's safe drinking water and waste treatment facilities in the areas where it's needed. On March 31st, I participated in a panel discussion for the Water Hub of Climate Nexus. Discussion was on climate-driven issues facing the region, regional water board, as well as challenges and solutions specifically to the community of Allensworth. On April 13th, I participated in the Environmental Justice Early Action Plan meetings. And I will say that the concern has been on outreach, but from that session, there was concerted effort by all of the management zones to improve the level of outreach. So it was a welcoming thing to see that happen. I also participated in the pre-agenda meeting for April 15th. The Allensworth community has been experiencing significant water problems. It occurred February 26. We were without water for about 30 hours. I said without water for 30 hours. But we have gotten the situation corrected. It actually took some time. But on March 9th, while we were still in that water crisis, we had a water tour that was put together by Self-Help, Community Water Center, Clean Water Organization, and a number of environmental justice groups. We also had an attendance at that water tour, Carla Nemeth from the Department of Water Resources and some of her staff. We had Sean McGuire from the State Water Board that was in attendance. So they all got to witness the problems that we were experiencing, and it was quite an opportunity for them to be there at that time. we've also had State Senator Hurtado coming to the community. I think she was there on March 29th to also witness the situation that we were going through. And, you know, today I will say that we're still having a problem. There's a problem with our chlorination system. So we've had E. coli found in our water. So I'm saying all that to say that, you know, communities like where I live, they're in need of assistance. And if the money is there, it should not trickle down. It should be immediately provided to them to provide the assistance. And also one other item I'd just like to mention is I've continued to express during my time on this board for the need to have a pool of staff, if you will, water operators, maintenance operators, administrative support, general managers, that when these disadvantaged communities, and there are many of them that are in similar situations, have problems with staffing, the water operator quits, somebody's sick, there's no replacement. But if there's a pool of services of that kind available, someone can immediately fill that void until someone is hired. So I'm still saying it because we're experiencing some of those things right now. And so that concludes my announcements or my board communication. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Denise. I think maybe we have to take up that suggestion at a later board meeting. I think it's a great idea. As far as I go, I've been on a lot of phone calls. As chair, I knew there would be more. I don't think I knew there'd be this many, but they've all been very educational and I've learned a lot just listening in. I think moving forward, we'll be able to do some of these things in person, and that'll even be more advantageous. So I attended, or I listened in, I should say, to the Northern California Water Association annual meeting back in March. A lot of discussion at that meeting regarding the rice fields and the levees. So fish, rice, and birds were kind of the theme of that meeting. And there's been a couple of chairs calls that happen each month that I've attended. I also attended a couple of calls related to CV salts. I sat in on the executive committee meeting on the 17th, and on the 7th, there was a meeting. I'm not sure quite why the title was Salty Five, but that was the title of the meeting. And again, it was about CV salts and some of the challenges that face us moving forward. A couple of briefings I've had on forest activities and stormwater. And then I've had an update on Altamont and Mule Creek. So that's about it for me. And if there aren't any more that I missed here, I think we can move on to Nicole Martin, who's going to present an update from the State Water Board.
Good afternoon. It is truly an honor to be here today in person to provide a liaison report. So before I start, I just want to, thank you to all of you for your continued involvement. And to Vice Chair Kadara, thank you for your continued advocacy for Allensworth and other small disadvantaged communities like it. We've had talks and I and others are listening. So thank you. And so there's a lot going on around the state. Let's see here. So starting off, I am sure, as you are all aware, we have experienced a experienced the driest first 3 months of a year in state's recorded history. As of March 29th, 40% of the state is experiencing extreme drought conditions. Statewide residential use for February 2022 was 74 gallons per person per day, which is among the highest statewide averages observed since data collection began. In February, we had a statewide savings of 0.5% relative to February 2020. Cumulative use is still dropping. The July 2021 to February 2022 cumulative savings went from 6.4% in January to 5.8% in February. In February, 6 out of 10 regions decreased overall use relative to February 2020. South Lahontan have the highest savings at 10.4%, with North Coast following at 5.9%. San Francisco Bay at 4.6%, and Tulare Lake at 3.3%. The South Coast and North Lahontan regions had slight savings of less than 1%. The San Joaquin, Central Coast, Colorado, and Sacramento River regions all saw increases. On March 21st, the State Board sent out early warning letters of drought impacts and actions to water right holders. The Division of Water Rights is preparing curtailment actions for 2022, and the State Board will consider emergency regulations curtail water rights in certain watersheds if dry conditions continue or worsen. On March 28th, Governor Newsom signed an executive order calling on water agencies to implement more aggressive conservation measures. The order authorizes the State Board to promulgate emergency regulations requiring urban water suppliers to activate level 2 of their customized water shortage contingency plans and prepare for water shortage level of up to 20%. The potential measures include banning irrigation of non-functional turf or decorative grass adjacent to large industrial and commercial buildings and reducing the days residents can water outdoors. Now, switching over to the Delta. State Board staff provide weekly curtailment status updates on our drought website and also through the email subscription list. On March 18th, state and federal project operators submitted a temporary urgency change petition, also known as a TUCP, for the State Board requesting changes to water quality requirements for April through June 2022. On April 4th, the State Board Executive Director approved the TUCP with conditions. The public comment period ended on April 6th. The State Board discussed the TUCP at the board meeting on April 19th with presentations from the Department of Water Resources and the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. On March 29th, state and federal project operators released an informational statement on temperature management. The draft temperature management plan for the Shasta Reservoir is anticipated to be released in mid-April. Final temperature management plan is anticipated to be received in early May. The Delta Water Availability Methodology Report update and the draft Delta Emergency Regulation were released on April 19th, so earlier this week. Now, the Scott and Shasta. On Scott, all curtailments were suspended through April 20th. Are suspended through April 22nd, tomorrow. On Shasta, curtailments were reinstated on March 15th. Most junior water diverters must cease diversions contingent on flow requirements being met and must work with the water master. Local cooperative solutions provide water right holders with an opportunity to propose alternatives to curtailments under the drought emergency regulation. The State Board must approve the local cooperative solutions prior to being implemented. Okay, so that's what's going on as far as drought and curtailment. So changing subjects. On March 21st, the State Board announced a proposed maximum containment level, an MCL, for hexavalent chromium 10 of 10 parts per billion. The State Board's recent analysis shows that the MCL for hex bivalent chromium of 10 should be achievable for systems serving 95% of Californians. On April 5th and 7th, staff hosted public workshops to present proposed administrative draft MCL and heard public comment. Public comment period ends on April 29th, next week. Depending on the size of the system, the proposed implementation period ranges from 2 to 4 years. The new MCL is expected to go into effect early 2024 if adopted by the board. The construction stormwater general permit, which regulates stormwater discharges associated with construction activities to serving one or more acres. The state board adopted the existing permit in 2009. I know you guys have a lot covered by that permit and a great group that works on it, which has it expired on September 2nd, 2014, and has been administratively extended until the effective date of the reissued permit. On March 30th, the state board released a proposed statewide construction general permit reissuance. Staff held a public workshop to discuss the revisions on April 12th, and a board workshop was held on April 19th. The public comment period ends on May 2nd. State board will consider the adoption of the proposed statewide construction general permit on July 19th. So a few more updates here. The Safe and Affordable Funding for Equity and Resilience program, also known as SAFER, is rolling out a new outreach engagement strategy to increase early communication engagement, community engagement, keep local drinking water projects on track, identify potential risks, issues, or delays, build local capacity, and create a path towards equitable and resilient water governance. We're also partnering with local experts to make this happen. On April 11th, staff hosted a SAFER program funding partner application Q&A. Applications were then accepted through April 15th for those that were interested in becoming a funding partner. Let's see, then the California Water and Wastewater Arrearage Payment Program. The state board is accepting late applications for the wastewater systems through April 22nd. Which is tomorrow. As of March 29th, 164 wastewater systems had applied. Technical assistance is still available for those that need assistance with application. So that concludes my liaison report. I am available if there are any questions.
Any questions? Sounds like you're keeping pretty busy, Nicole.
Yeah, looks like Sean.
I have no questions, but just curious. We could get that note, all the stuff that you provide us. There's a lot of great information. I would love to have it. So if you could email or any other form, we'd love to have that. Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you for I just want to say that this is a very comprehensive report. There are lots of things that you discussed that I know a little bit about. So getting updates like this are really helpful. So it was excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Board Member Maris.
Yeah, thank you, Nicole.
Thank you, Nicole. And for any of our new board members, Nicole was a staffer here at the Central Valley Water Board, and we are still reaping the dividends of her work at the board. Nicole, you'll be happy to know that our municipal general order is up for readoption today, which is really instrumental in helping us keep on top of our federal commitments. So still going strong with some of the ideas that you worked on here at the board. So thank you so much for your report today.
Okay, moving on, we're up to agenda item 4, which is the public forum. Mindy, has anyone submitted a request to speak on any topic which is not on the agenda today?
Yes, Chair Bradford, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
We have 3 commenters. They all indicate they are in person. The first is April Primo, representing herself. Next is Joanne Kipps, Food Processing WDRs, and then Kim Burns, representing E&J Gallo Winery.
Okay, thank you. So April Primo, I think, will be first. Is she here today? I don't see her in the room. So moving on, unless she's online, I don't know if she's on the Zoom call?
I do not see her online.
Okay. I'm sorry, who was the second speaker?
The second speaker is Joanne Kipps.
Okay, Joanne. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Mr. Palupa, staff. My name is Joanne Kipps. I live in the city of Fresno, and I'm a civil engineer. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
In 2010, I retired from the state after 21 years of service, including 13 years with this board in this office. When I began working for the board, management was supportive of staff's efforts to try to improve how the board regulates the land discharges of food processing and winery waste. In 2006 and 2005, staff briefed the board about the apparent widespread groundwater degradation associated with these discharges. The files for these information items are still posted on the board's website under Regulation of Food Processing Waste Discharges to Land. I encourage you to check these files out because the problem described over 15 years ago has not gone away. Alas, a change in executive management led to changes in priorities, and staff's efforts to address this problem eventually fizzled out. Following my retirement, I have tried to revive that effort by submitting comments to tentative orders for food processors and wineries. Many of those comments pertain to boilerplate language in recent WDRs that reflect management's evolving approach for dealing with these problematic discharges. I hope that you're able to find the time to read my comments. We're facing another dry year. We all believe that we know that California is no stranger to droughts. But we've not faced anything like the state's ancient mega droughts. One starting around 1140 AD lasted for 180 years. Another one that started around 850 AD lasted 240 years. And this is before global warming. Global warming will only increase the severity and duration of these droughts. The disappearance of the Sierra snowpack and groundwater pumping restrictions required by groundwater management plans will cause agriculture in the Central Valley to cease as we now know it. Solar farms, groundwater recharge basins, and urban sprawl will replace cropland. Groundwater will need to be increasingly tapped for domestic and municipal use, which is why the board must protect groundwater now. You, board members, have the authority and the responsibility to do this. When asked to adopt orders for discharges that have already adversely impacted groundwater, you can demand that these orders prohibit additional impacts. When organic overloading is an issue, you can prescribe effluent limitations for BOD and settleable solids that reflect primary treatment at a minimum. This doesn't require a new law or policy or regulation. You have the authority to do this now. Use it or lose this resource forever. It's your call. Thank you for your time. Any questions?
I just thank you for your comments.
Yeah, thank you. And we will try to locate that report. Okay, we have one more speaker, Bindi. I'm sorry, maybe speaker, could you introduce yourself? Hi, Kim. You're up. Yep, it is on. I think. Oh, maybe she turned it off.
Thank you, Executive Director, Board, staff. I'd like to respond to Ms. Kipp's comments regarding land application discharges from food processors and winery. I've been a member of Gallo, E&J Gallo Winery, for nearly 20 years, and I help support the compliance activities over some of the largest wineries in the world. I have to describe to you the improvements that have been made by Gallo's commitment to the environment within my tenure at Gallo. We've spent over tens of millions of dollars with improved anaerobic treatment systems, very aggressive land application practices. Our uptake rates agronomically have been exceptional within the last 5 years, and we have one of the most rigorous WDR permits in place anywhere probably in the United States. So we do recognize that there are challenges with CV salts, with the drought, but I want to affirm to you Gallup's commitment for continual improvement, compliance to the environment, and we've not stopped in our commitment for additional capital expenditures to ensure that our footprint is minimized into the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you.
And thanks to the public commenters. I think we certainly read Ms. Kipps's comments. I worked with her when she was at the board, and to a certain extent, both the comments have an element of truth. There are a lot of legacy impacts throughout the valley as a result of food processing practices that CV salts and other mechanisms are working to remediate. And the long-term remediation of those aquifers is exactly that. It's going to take place over decades. And I think Joanne is absolutely right. And to point out that there are areas where we could be pushing even harder. I think that when these decisions come up to the board, we try and be absolutely transparent about, you know, both the technological limitations and the economic considerations that the Valley's industries are faced with. And ultimately, you know, I completely agree with Joanne. The discretion is yours in terms of how we structure those WDRs and the time schedules that we will impose upon dischargers in front of us. So I again, Joanne keeps us honest, make sure that we're on top of it. But I would also not discount the millions, if not billions, of investment that the Valley's industries have made in trying to improve groundwater quality in particular in this part of the state. And we will get you those links to those old reports.
Good. Thanks, Patrick. The next agenda item is the executive officer's report. Prior to each meeting, the executive officer works with the executive assistant and the board's program managers to compile a report on the status of the board's programs, its staffing, and many different initiatives that the board is working on. At this time, the executive officer is available to take questions on this report. Since we have a new board member today, perhaps we can also discuss whether there are changes to the board's work groups that can be made to accommodate Ms. Lee Reeder's participation in one or more work groups. I do believe some of that's already transpired. So Patrick.
Before you start,
Executive
Officer, can I ask for the guest password so that I can follow along?
Absolutely.
I know it's usually posted, but I didn't write it down. So thank you.
Here. Oh, here we go.
Umberto's on top of it as usual. So for starters, we had a discussion at the last board meeting, the last virtual board meeting, about the assignment of board members to a variety of work groups, some of which are more active than others. And as Ms. Lee Reeder was coming aboard, she expressed interest in a couple of those work groups. My suggestion would be, at a minimum, as we kind of work to kind of integrate her into the board practices and see how she can participate to the maximum extent we can ask of her. We know all of you are volunteers, so most of this work is extracurricular. But one of the proposals I know, Ms. Lee Reeder, that you put forward was to work on some drinking water issues, in particular the early action plan SB 1215 issues. I talked briefly with Raji, or communicated briefly with Raji, and Raji said she's willing to kind of step back from that role and to allow Ms. Lee Reeder to join Ms. Kadara on the panels that will be working on those particular issues. And so that's for starters, and we will be throwing even more opportunities for participation to all board members and briefings and things like that. But that'd be my proposal, at least to the board right now, that we memorialize that and make that change. And as you kind of work on new issues. We can always create new work groups and move things around to make sure that your interests as board members are ably met by staff, and you can get out into the field and do things and see the issues that are most pertinent to our regulatory programs.
Do we need to do anything formal about that?
Nothing formal. I'm certainly hearing a lack of objection, so I will note that and make the changes. I'd also like to point out just a couple things relevant for the executive officer's report before I make a brief presentation for Devi Mankey. Is Clay, is she here? Is she here or participating virtually? Okay, fantastic. So we do have one award, a staff award to give out, but really a couple things I want to kind of point out in the executive officer's report. Quite a bit of cleanup action, quite a bit of activity happening at all levels of our organization. But one of the things that that is called out in each one of the executive officers' reports is the comings and goings. We've had a lot of staff turnover. I think every industry, private industry, government agency has seen a lot of that recently. So one of the biggest things that we've been working on as an administrative team, as an executive team, is making sure that we have the tools in place for succession plans for our various programs. In the past, I'd say 2 years since the pandemic started, we've had about a third of our program managers change over. It's been a great learning experience for a lot of staff elevated into those positions. And I just want to recognize all of those new roles that people have taken on, the new promotions and things of that nature. Even here today, just briefly before this board meeting, Alex Olson was promoted to the program manager for the oil and gas, and Dale Harvey has now taken over as program manager for the dairy unit. And there was also multiple shifts happening within the cleanup and UST programs in our Rancho Cordova office. So quite a lot of movement. And that was kind of at the same time that we are making plans for return to the office. We still have largely vacant offices right now. There is quite a bit that we need to put in place before we have staff coming back into place. As you may or may not know, we've got about five unions representing various sectors of the office. All of those have been in discussions with the Department of General Services, with State Board, with Cal EPA, working out a robust policy to how many days staff are expected to be in the office, what their roles are when they expect to be in the office, even things like reconfiguring the office for hybrid workplace rules and things like that, all stuff that has been very much up in the air and that we are planning for long term. Didn't think we'd be here 3 years ago, but here we are. And a lot of the rules have changed. A lot of employee expectations have changed. And so there's been a huge amount of conversations about these topics, about how to meet the needs of our staff now that, you know, that they've really changed quite profoundly over the last couple of years while still maintaining our focus on the board's mission. So that's reflected in the comings and goings that you see in the executive officer report, in addition to all the other things that we have going on. And so if there isn't any other questions, I'll proceed to the awards.
So Patrick, could you let the board understand when will people be back and how many days a week or roughly?
That is in final consultation with the unions right now. So I believe we have a telework plan, and by we, the State Water Board has a telework plan that they have finalized and are sharing with the unions right now. It's in the union conference plan. As soon as that gets finalized, we will be kind of releasing it to staff and starting to work on updated telework agreements and kind of the flurry of paperwork that goes with any new state policy affecting our employees. What has been telegraphed by State Water Board without kind of putting into writing just yet is that the expectation is at least 2 days in the office for just about all the employees, water boards wide. And as far as Cal EPA is concerned, it looks like those rules will likely take effect at the beginning of July. So there will be a bit of a break-in period where people can kind of be reaccustomed to their offices and new docking stations, new monitors, all the kind of things that go along with moving our workforce back into the office, at least part-time, are up and running. I will say we are very lucky to have the IT staff that we have. In addition to putting on these meetings, they virtually converted all of the nearly 3,000 Cal EPA staff from a variety of old workstations to laptops and really pioneered the use of virtual office technology to allow virtual workspaces and shared folders and things like that to be used throughout Cal EPA, all of the what we call BDOs, the boards, departments, and organizations of Cal EPA. So that includes the state and regional boards as well. Just a lot of work happening there. Looks like that's going to kick in sometime this summer with a tentative date, I think, of July 1, but it's always subject to change.
Of course, yeah. All right, thank you.
And with that, I'd like to recognize Debbie Benke. I think you're on. Double check. Can you get a thumbs up, Bob or Jean?
Yes, Debbie, you can unmute yourself if you like. And you are unmuted.
Hello.
All right, fantastic. I think that's one of our first hybrid conversations there. So the Central Valley Water Board's Reading Office Management Team is pleased to select Debbie Benke for the Superior Accomplishment Award. Debbie is a seasonal clerk in the Reading office and is being recognized for her outstanding work performance. Debbie joined the Central Valley Water Board in May of 2017 and works closely with the Stormwater and Water Quality Certification Unit. Debbie does an excellent job at juggling multiple tasks and various demands placed upon her time. Her work is well-organized and accurate. She's extremely efficient and dependable and gives 100% to the job. Ambitious and quick to learn, Debbie is always willing and eager to take on new challenges and tasks. Over the past 5 years, she has gained in-depth knowledge of the program and has developed standard operating procedures for the tasks that she performs. Self-taught, Debbie is extremely knowledgeable in creating ADA-compliant documents and provides assistance not only to Reading staff, but to other offices as well. To ensure that program performance measures are being met, she maintains a tracking spreadsheet for water quality certification applications and permits. Among many other tasks, she does an outstanding job at regularly updating Access and CWIX databases, drafting CEQA comment letters, posting CEQA documents on the State Clearinghouse website, and providing administrative support to the unit and to other staff. Her knowledge is quite impressive, despite not having a science background. Debbie's positive attitude, willingness to help others, and vast knowledge are greatly valued. She is most deserving of the recognition for her work and her contributions to the Central Valley Water Board, and we are grateful that she's part of the team. Debbie, thank you so much. I'm glad to virtually see you here today. I know Clint's team is really appreciative of the work that you do day in and day out, and certainly managing that task. I know the stormwater and water quality certification staff are often those staff under the tightest timelines, and so having a knowledgeable administrative support is so key to getting their job done. Congratulations for this award.
Thank you. I am honored to receive this award. I would like to also thank Janelle Brown and Crystal Hansen for always being willing to help whenever a document does give me an issue that I can't resolve. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. I think we'll start taking pictures probably the next board meeting, but I really want to congratulate you, Debbie. Hope you're having a good one day up there in Reading.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, Clay. Yeah, I thought that. Come on up. And that program manager shift that I alluded to earlier, Clay will be presenting an award of recognition for one of the employees that I've had an absolute pleasure working with as an attorney, as an executive officer, and his capacity as program manager here in the Fresno office. Truly a tough day when he left the program, a wealth of knowledge about dairies, water quality issues up and down the state. But I'll let Clay give the proclamation and recognition for Doug Pattison.
Good to see you.
You too.
Hi, my name is Clay Rogers. I'm the Assistant Executive Officer of the Fresno office. So it's my pleasure to introduce Doug Pattison. Doug retired on December 30th as the Supervising Water Resources Control Engineer over part of Fresno office and was the program manager for the dairies and confined animal facilities. And it's my pleasure to have worked with him for 20 years. And so we put together a little resolution that was approved by the board. Thank you very much. And so I'll just read the resolution since that probably says most of what I would say anyway. Doug Pattison came to work at the Fresno office of the Central Valley Water Board on 22nd February 1993 as an associate engineer following his graduation as a civil engineer from California State University, Fresno. Doug retired from the board on 30 December after almost 29 years. Doug was one of the few remaining employees, along with me, from when the Fresno office was located at the intersection of Ashland and Millbrook Avenues in central Fresno. Whereas Doug began his regional board service working for Shelton Gray, one of our continuing senior geologists in the office in the underground storage tank program, Doug was promoted to senior water resources control engineer in December of 1999. His unit oversaw the non-15, the WDR program, NPDES and stormwater programs in the southern part of the San Joaquin Valley. Doug was promoted to supervising water resources control engineer in March of 2010 and oversaw the irrigated lands, dairies, and Title 27, along with the oil field programs in the Fresno office. He also became the dairy program manager, and during the following years with his leadership, successfully oversaw the evolution of the program into what should now be known as the Dairy Feedlot and Poultry Program. Doug was involved in major changes in the oil field program and was instrumental in helping usher in changes that came with the exponential growth of the program. His involvement in the oil field program continued until three separate oil field units were added for the board and a third supervising position was established in the Fresno office. Whereas Doug spent 29 years with the Central Valley Water Board, where his high quality work and outstanding leadership have become a model for success in the Fresno office. He was highly respected for his work ethic, fairness, and dealing with employees and stakeholders. His lack of excitability and his act will be extremely difficult to follow. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you, Doug, for all your work. I appreciate it very much. It made my job much, much easier. And thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to make a comment about Doug. So as was mentioned earlier today, we are a part-time board. So our specialization is not in the daily activities that the water board does. And as a part-time member, we rely heavily on staff. And Doug was one of those staff members that was reliable, honest. I could rely and trust the information that he gave me. I knew that he was fair with the dischargers. And it really is... it's great to see you, and it's a loss that we won't see you again in your professional capacity, but thank you for your time and thank you for making our job easier by being so good at your job. So congratulations, enjoy your time. And I guess congratulations again.
I'll just add, you look too young to retire. Must be your lack of an excitable nature, yeah. Even keel. Congratulations.
Certainly a calm captain in the storm. No, I really appreciate Doug and the work that he's done at the board. That just about concludes my comments on the executive officer report. One more thing I would like to add, however, in the months to come, we will be working even more diligently on racial equity work here at the Central Valley Water Board. It's work that has been handed off, kind of the baton has been handed off from the state water board after they adopted their racial equity resolution to the regional boards. And I'm very grateful to have a number of staff who have signed up for that effort. We're going to solicit some more staff input. But really, we're going to be working that core group of staff that have previously worked on the State Water Board's racial equity resolution. We'll be working with the program managers to design metrics and objectives to integrate into our planning process to make sure that we are achieving the goals that are set forth by the State Water Board in their racial equity resolution. Concurrently, the state board's actually getting a team together to work on their implementation plan. So we just didn't want to waste any time and really want to get to work on our own as well, as kind of that was the idea behind the state board's adoption of their racial equity resolution. If there are no more questions, we can proceed with the agenda.
No more questions. Okay, Mindy, are there any interested persons that have submitted a request to comment on this item?
No, Chair Bradford, nobody.
Thank you. Any more discussion?
Sean? I'm just curious, Patrick, on the racial equity work. Are we hiring more employees, or what does that entail?
So it at this juncture, it's doing more with the employees that we do have. So there was not a separate allocation for new staff to work on it. I believe that was a suggestion of the racial equity resolution adopted at the state board, that they kind of convene a center of excellence or a team to help implement that moving forward. That's subject to kind of confidential budget discussions at the state board level, whether the legislature wants to appropriate funds to convene that team and to have them work on those issues going forward. We're really just saying what we're going to do. It'd be great if the state board gets those resources. But either way, we've got clear objectives being set by the state board. So we're going to start working on it with some of our staff who are particularly well-versed on those issues because of their backgrounds, because of their personal experience, or because of things that they've shown an interest in while working for the board.
So what I'm hearing from you is we do have the staff and the manpower to go forward regardless.
I will often say that, absolutely, even though I will ask for more. We will be working with the team that we have to meet those objectives.
Okay, yes. Great to hear. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. I just have to commend you and all the staff, the management staff in particular, and being able to juggle all these challenges over the past 2 years plus, and then the challenges aren't over, I guess, getting back to the office. So it'll be a new normal. And whatever that's going to look like.
It's surprisingly harder to turn it back on than it is to turn it off.
Yeah.
I don't know if like it's a nuclear power plant thing. It's easier to shut it down than fire it back up. but there's a lot of issues involved. And I think, you know, to be honest, it's changed expectations. Just about everybody in the workplace, whether in the private sector or in the government sector, a lot of people have reconsidered work-life balance or what they have come to expect from the workplace. So we're trying to be sensitive with that as we kind of design new spaces and new means of interacting with each other and with the dischargers. So brave new world that all of us are kind of going at together.
Well, great job. Thank you. So we had an agenda item 6 to consider the minutes from the prior board meeting, but we are going to discuss that in the future. So moving on to agenda item 7, which is the uncontested calendar. This is a time and place for a public hearing to consider the uncontested items listed on the agenda as items 10 through 13. Mindy, has anybody submitted a request to comment on any of the uncontested items?
No, Chair Bradford, there are none.
Okay, then I will close the hearing and ask for a motion to adopt the uncontested calendar as written.
Move to approve the uncontested agenda items as presented.
I'll second that.
Okay, moved by Carmen and seconded by Raji. Mindy, could you take a roll call?
Board Member Lee Reeder?
Aye.
Board Member Brar?
Yes.
Board Member Ramirez?
Yes.
Board Member Yang?
Aye.
Board Member Abdus?
Yes.
Vice Chair Kadara?
Yes.
And Chair Bradford?
Yes. So that's adopted. So moving on, we're burning right through this today. Agenda item 8 is CV SALT enforcement priorities. At this time, the board will hear a discussion of how the Central Valley Water Board may shift resources toward enforcing permittees' failure to comply with notices issued to them under the board's nitrate and salt control programs. This is an information item only and no action will be taken, although the board may ask questions and provide direction to staff. After the staff presentation, interested persons will be allowed 3 minutes each to address the board. And we will now hear the staff presentation.
See, Roberto, you're going to have to let me know whether I click through here or whether Gene will show it. Okay, fantastic. So there's a lot of clicks there, Gene.
Got it.
Just a warning. So we do have the presentation up. So good afternoon. We got through a bunch of items very quickly. This is a very key issue that I want to give you a briefing on. It is not just a discussion of the enforcement efforts that we will have underway consistent with CV SALT. Gotcha. Thank you. But for new board members in particular, I want to give a little bit of a background as to what we're doing with CV SALTS, where it was, where it is now, and where it plans to be. Next slide. So for starters, CV SALTS is a massive regulatory program that the board undertook, probably one of the biggest things that this board has done in decades. And the reason we're talking about CV SALTS enforcement here today is because the CV SALTS basin planning effort resulted in compliance options for permittees that can't comply with existing regulations. Nitrate and salt control programs were developed to allow a pathway to compliance for dischargers throughout our valley, in particular in the agricultural, dairy, food processors, and POTW sectors, as well as a lot of municipalities having their septic systems and other dischargers. But ultimately, what we're trying to do here is to, where possible, restore water quality within the surface and groundwater of the Central Valley, and to meet our long-term objectives under the Human Right to Water for safe, clean, and affordable drinking water for every human being in the Central Valley. Deliberate avoidance of water quality regulations, which is just about occurring under the CV SALTS programs for non-filers that have received multiple notices that they have to comply with this new program, are under the State Water Board's enforcement policy considered priority A violations. So what we're talking about here today is a regulatory program that the board established to provide a means of compliance for even dischargers that were having a very difficult time complying with existing regulations. We have provided them a route of compliance, and those dischargers who have not availed themselves of that particular option and are failing to respond to board notices and directives are on our naughty list and deserve to receive the brunt of our enforcement actions. And so that's really what I'm talking about today, is the repositioning of some enforcement resources to meet those objectives. Next slide. So first, I really want to talk a little bit about why we developed, in particular, the salt and nitrate control programs. There was a handful of programs and policies established by the CV SALTS Basin Plan amendments, but probably the two biggest ones are the salt control program and the nitrate control program. The salt control program was critical because the diverse salinity sources throughout the Central Valley were having widespread impacts to salt in both groundwater and in the soils throughout the Central Valley. that has to do with the way that water is used within the Central Valley, particularly the southern part of our region. And it's causing fairly widespread economic and water quality impacts. Those impacts are estimated to be about 250,000 acres taken out of production, 1.5 million acres of agricultural lands that are salinity impaired and cannot necessarily grow the range of crops that were originally being able to be grown on those areas, and potential direct annual costs of $1.5 billion to 2030, largely from land taken out of production, but also the ancillary businesses that depend on crops grown on that land. So that's a problem. You know, we have increased soil salinity concentrations, increased groundwater concentrations occurring throughout the valley. Next slide. Nitrate, on the other hand, is a water quality issue that is incredibly urgent for a number of communities throughout the valley, particularly those communities that are dependent on groundwater as a source of drinking water. Legacy and existing conditions contribute to this pollution. That's largely nitrate fertilizers, also nitrate from dairies, nitrate from publicly owned treatment works, nitrate from septic systems are probably some of the main sources of nitrate pollution within the valley. What you see there on the right is a map of hotspots of areas where there is widespread nitrate contamination of the groundwater aquifer. That water is rendered unsafe to drink. If you drink groundwater containing more than 10 milligrams per liter of nitrate, especially small infants are at extreme risk of a type of blood condition called methemoglobinemia, which is potentially fatal. So it's an incredibly urgent water quality issue that we are called upon to address, because realistically, all of these nitrate sources, or nearly all of these nitrate sources, are human caused. This is groundwater pollution. This is groundwater pollution that we need to figure out how to solve. Next slide. And so the question then arises, why not use the traditional regulatory approach for these types of constituents? Why not just regulate our way out of this with the tools that we have at our disposal? Both salt and nitrate are long-term compliance issues. The nitrate issue was not made overnight. A lot of the nitrate contamination issues are the product of decades of nitrate leaching to groundwater. And similarly, the salinity problems in the valley are the product of many decades of water use practices within the Central Valley. So we can't just apply very stringent water quality limitations to shut off the sources of nitrogen and shut off the sources of salinity. It is not amenable to those type of solutions. It would have huge impacts on the very industries that vulnerable communities rely upon within the valley, and would have huge economic impacts, not to mention that it would result in negative impacts to an agricultural community that really raises a lot of the food crops for the entire country. And lastly, an individual permit by permit approach actually wouldn't work. There's studies commissioned as part of CV Salts that said that even if you shut down sources of nitrogen, even if you shut down sources of salinity within the valley by forcing businesses to go out of business, the aquifers would not just rebound overnight. In some cases, it would take 50, 60, 70 years for drinking water to meet water quality objectives in those aquifers. We want to be able to build a program that meets the needs of the people that are dependent on drinking water today while we work on those long-term solutions. Next slide. So this is what the board came up with. It wasn't an overnight process. This was a very, very long stakeholder-led initiative that Dr. Carl Longley was instrumental in setting up and championing for many years. It results in a prioritized program in the nitrate control program and a phased program in the salt control program. Next slide. I'll start first with the salt control program. Next slide. Click. The salt control program is the right kind of pathway that you see out here. It is a phased program. It results in two different compliance options that a discharger can choose, either a conservative permitting approach or an alternative permitting approach. And I'll get into a little bit of detail on what those two approaches actually are. Next slide. For the conservative permitting approach, this is really reserved for those facilities that can meet very stringent water quality standards designed for long-term protection. Really has very limited eligibility. If you are using water in the Central Valley, in most cases, you are raising the salinity level because salt is a conservative pollutant. When you apply it to crops, the water goes, the salt stays. When you recycle water, the water evaporates, it gets used up by plant tissue, the salt stays behind. The salt always stays behind. If there's one kind of lesson that you take out of this, salt always stays behind unless you develop a management practice to deal with it. So the more you recycle water, the more you use water more efficiently, the higher those salinity concentrations are going to go. So it's a bit of one of those problems where, you know, more recycling, more water quality work can lead to higher salinity concentrations that can result in impacts to agricultural supply and domestic supply. So most dischargers can't meet that. If you're running a publicly owned treatment plant, you probably can't meet that. If you run agricultural land, you recycle water a few times, you apply that water to crops, you can't meet that salinity standard. So what's left? Well, we provide an alternative permitting approach that relies on salinity minimization.
So Patrick, so you told us who can't do conservative permitting approach, but what kind of entities would be able to use that?
There are a few entities that can. I think we spell some of those out on the next slide, but say like there are some stormwater, a lot of the stormwater projects, they don't add salinity. They're kind of viewed as a net positive. There are a lot of facilities where you have a lot of very, very high quality source water and you're not doing much to it, where you'll meet those water quality standards. So as long as you're not kind of intensively using water, you can meet them. But most of the water here, especially in the southern part of our region, is not spoken for once, it's spoken for twice, it's spoken for three times, four times. And so when you continue to use that water, that salinity concentration will go up. So most of the treatment plants, most of those facilities, they can't meet those objectives. There are a few that can, you know, but it's a very, very limited number. So as part of the alternative permitting approach, what we're asking them to do is fund a long-term study. And we're talking about a bit over $1 million per year for 10 years to fund this study. It's jointly funded by thousands of dischargers throughout the Valley to really develop a long-term program of where can we make improvements? Where can the salt go? Where will the salt sinks be? And how do we make essentially land use decisions. If you're a discharger, how do we make treatment decisions? How do we make recycled water decisions intelligently with the goal of long-term sustainability? So that's what that study does. And then you also, for many dischargers, you have performance-based limits to control degradation. So if you're running a treatment plant or if you're operating a food processing facility, maybe you look at cleaning agents that are relatively low in salinity. Maybe you look for alternative sources than kind of water conditioning processes that use a lot of salt. There are different technologies that you can employ. So those will be put in place where those technology solutions are available today to kind of minimize salinity inputs. And feel free to interrupt anytime if you have any questions. Next slide. So phase one is this P&O study. Notices to comply, essentially, hey, you gotta listen to this program. We're changing your permit. We're making new requirements. We're sent out in January of 2021. And a response called a notice of intent was due July 15th of 2021. And this applies to all permitted dischargers of salt in the Central Valley. So that is a heck of a lot of dischargers. It's a major effort to get these notices out. And it's a major effort to collect the information that we need to see whether they're getting this information back, whether we're getting this information back. Next slide. So here's the timeline. And Gene, be prepared to click a whole bunch. First click. So this CV Salt stakeholder-led effort was initiated back in 2006. Next click. S-Salts, the strategic salt accumulation studies, the white papers, the archetype studies, really all these studies that took a look at what existing practices were, what existing technology was out there to manage the salts, Those were commissioned and funded from 2007 through 2016, funded by a mix of state money and a lot of money put in by dischargers. Next slide. The Salt and Nutrient Management Plan came a little over 10 years after that stakeholder-led effort was first initiated. And that resulted in draft amendments, the CV Salts Basin Plan amendments. The regulatory changes that we're talking about today were built off of that Salt and Nutrient Management Plan. The programs came in front of the board and were adopted as Basin Plan amendments in May of 2018. Went to State Board in October of 2019 and cleared the final regulatory hurdle at the state level of Office of Administrative Law in January of 2020. US EPA approval, which is necessary for any water quality standard action that affects surface water, was approved in November of 2020. And that resulted in the notices to comply being sent out in January of 2021. Notice of intents were then due a number of months after that. Here we are now in the phase one study where everybody is supposed to have responded to the board and is supposed to be pursuing one of those regulatory options. Now for the nitrate control program. And this is the other half of the CV Salts Basin Plan amendments. It's a prioritized program that results in an individual permitting approach, a path A, and a management zone permitting approach, a path B. Now, the nitrate control program, in contrast to the salt control program, focuses instead on a subset of the valley. These notices were not sent throughout the valley. They were sent to specific areas where the nitrate problem was the worst. We don't have a whole lot of nitrate problems in the northern part of our valley, and the nitrate problems in the southern part of our valley, they're not evenly spread out. They're focused in a few areas, and it's those areas that receive the notices first. Now, here's what the nitrate program, nitrate control program does in practice. This is where the kind of new innovative approach comes in. Under a traditional regulatory approach, dischargers were not able to meet water quality objectives with current technologies. There still needs to be advancement in the agricultural sector to meet water quality objectives. Dairies need to find new ways of managing their waste to meet water quality objectives to protect drinking water. Septic systems need to be consolidated, need more advanced treatment. Publicly owned treatment works potentially need nitrification, denitrification technologies built into their treatment trains. And the board had limited discretion on how to stagger those out, how to stage those. Under the nitrate control program, there's a 35-year timeframe, and that can help dischargers work together and achieve those goals collectively as opposed to individually. There's no approved option for those collective solutions under a traditional regulatory approach, but the management zone approach, which was one of the innovative components of CV Salts, allows the pooling of resources and the collective meeting of those objectives. And lastly, there's no solution spelled out for impacted water users aside from individually issuing compliance orders under Water Code Section 13304 under the traditional regulatory option. Under the nitrate control program, that is an expectation. If you plan on utilizing that 35-year timeframe to develop your solution, you also have to take a survey of those communities that may be impacted by nitrate dischargers in your backyard and provide them with replacement drinking water. If you test their facility and you find out that that household, that community is drinking nitrate-impacted water. And so I'll go in real quick detail about the management zone permitting approach. Now, the management zone permitting approach, this is Path B under the nitrate control program, shared responsibility for nitrate pollution control implementation. There's an exception for the nitrate standard. So basically, that allows you to do your work over that 35-year timeframe. You must provide safe drinking water to affected communities and residents to qualify for that exception. It does not come free. And these management zones will be enforced through discharge permit provisions, which are we are developing right now. And here's a time frame for the prioritized nitrate control program. Notice to comply center letters were sent out May of 2022. The priority management zone, that should read earlier, priority management zone and early action plans were due March of 2021. And the notices of intent had to come back from the dischargers by May 7th of 2021. That was also a very auspicious day in that the early action plans also had to begin implementation on that date. So communities had to start getting replacement drinking water as of May 7th, 2021. There's been a lot of outreach to permittees in those priority one areas, CV Salt's webinars, fact sheets, and the website. And we're not talking about outreach to communities here. We're talking about outreach to permittees, letting them know that you have to be doing this outreach. You have to be complying with this new program. We had industry-specific webinars and meetings. The Salinity Coalition itself was instrumental in putting a lot of those together. They were very well attended. We had specific webinars for POTWs, concentrated animal facilities, irrigated lands regulatory program, and then a lot of outreach being done by the individual management plans that coalesced and met with the folks within their areas that need to meet these new regulations. Next slide. Bunch more clicking. Nitrate was a relatively late comer to this basin plan amendment. It came aboard 6 years after the program was initiated. The program was originally conceived of as a salt control program, but during the drought period, not the current drought, although it arguably is still the current drought, but around 2010, 2011, 2012, nitrate really emerged into the board's purview as the biggest water quality issue that we needed to tackle. So that was added to the CV Salts Nitrate Control Program in 2012. Click. Similar to the salt control program, there was a period of study and policy development through 2012 through 2016. That resulted in some of the studies that showed that even if you shut down irrigated agriculture, if you shut down the dairies, that groundwater would not be drinkable for decades in many areas. Next slide. That also was built into the salt nutrient management plan that was sent to the board in 2017. Click. Draft basin plan amendments in 2017, just like the salt control program, click. To the board in 2018, click. 2019 state board approval, click one more time. And unlike the salt control program, this is a groundwater specific program, so it did not need to go to US EPA. So we were able to get a head start and get those priority one notice to comply letters out in May of 2020. Next click. Management zone plans were coming back in March of 2021. So that essentially said, who's going to be in the management zones? What are their shapes going to look like? Next click. Notice of intent due May of 2021. Next click. That's where we are now. If you have not submitted your notice of intent and you've got those certified mail receipts coming in from the regional board, water board, you are eligible for enforcement action from the board. Next click. And that is so key because the final management zone proposals are due in August of 2022. If you're not participating in this program, you are also not funding replacement drinking water. You are not working with your neighbors to meet the needs of the communities, and you are not working on nitrate solutions for your discharges. Next click. The management zone implementation plans would be due 2023. And last click. And then we're going to begin priority two implementation in those areas that are also nitrate impacted, but not nearly as heavily nitrate impacted as the priority one basins. Next slide. And I'll give you copies of this so you don't have to memorize any of these timeframes. So now we'll speak a little bit about compliance. Salt control program. Remember, this was sent out to virtually every permittee with some exceptions in the regional board's jurisdiction. 3,150 dischargers received these notices. 49 have chosen the conservative pathway. Again, those very few facilities that their discharge is of very, very high quality water. 2,736 have met the alternative compliance pathway, which means we are exceeding those very stringent salinity thresholds, and we're going to be cutting checks to the folks doing the prioritization optimization study. There's 365 dischargers at last count. We're still working on reconciling those numbers that have not selected a compliance pathway despite receiving multiple notices. That's really who we're talking about focusing on today. Now, I will give one note. There are a few folks that did not receive these notices. They're municipal and construction stormwater permittees. In most cases, they were found to be discharging below the salinity thresholds. 401 water quality certification permittees. On occasion, they have that built into their permit, but in most cases, they are not moving around water or using water in a way that would exceed those thresholds. And timber and cannabis permittees are mostly worried about other water quality constituents that are not kind of attendant to this compliance program. Next slide. So here's the breakdown of the folks that have not responded. Again, these are very general. We're still working on reconciling these numbers. Most of the non-responsive entities are in the non-15 program. That is our waste discharge to land program. That is publicly owned treatment works that discharge to a spray field. That is food processing facilities. We've got about 20% of them in the confined animal facilities unit. Those are ones that are not participating in some of the dairy programs or the bovine programs, kind of outliers within that program. And then the remainder are small percentages of composting operations, oil and gas facilities, and NPDES facilities. So these are who we are going to be targeting with enforcement actions in the months to come for the salt control program. Next slide. Nitrate control program. Now, remember, this was sent to a much smaller subset of permittees, about a third the size of the salt control program. 1,190 dischargers got these notices. These notices were sent via certified mail. There were prior notices, little cards notifying them that, hey, something's coming your way. You have to pay attention to this. Multiple notices came out about the CV Salts Basin Plan amendment process. So it's really hard to envision a circumstance where they do not actually know about this program. 18 permittees have chosen the individual compliance pathway. Those are a few publicly owned treatment plants or food processing facilities that have extraordinarily advanced treatment in the publicly owned treatment work plant. Those are they nitrify and denitrify, and so they discharge well or right at the standard, have some crop uptake, and there's virtually no threat that it will cause compliance options when that water reaches the aquifer. But there's about 97 facilities that have not yet responded to the multiple notices, the multiple coming from the board, from the management zone, from other stakeholders. Next slide. And this is a breakdown of who they are. Most, again, about 50% of those are in the non-15 program. So those are those folks who have a spray field of some sort behind their facility. Concentrated animal facilities, again, the vast majority of them are in compliance. They can comply through their group program. So these are folks who are outside of their group program. And then a small number of oil and gas and composting operations form the remainder of the non-compliant facilities. Next slide. And here's really, at least for the nitrate control program, this is why compliance is so important. This program is still, you know, ongoing. It is just starting up. This is the one that kicked off in May. We're working on getting the management zones to provide replacement drinking water and free testing to communities that may have nitrate impacts. Currently, we're providing about 500, or they're providing about 500 homes with replacement bottled water. There's a number of fill stations that are set up, at least, about 2000 testing applications are being submitted. About 3000 inquiries have come in. The folks who are haven't been tested are the folks who are on municipal water. We don't test those facilities because they're regulated under a separate kind of program. But this is what it means if you're not participating in the nitrate control program, despite the notices. You are not funding these actions. You are not doing this outreach, and you're not working on nitrate compliance yourself. Next slide. And so this is kind of the staff that we have currently working on CV Salts issues. We have about 4.9 personnel year, or 4.9 people, kind of spread up over seven actual people working on CV Salts issues. That includes a lot of the work being done to get those notices out, to stage the meetings, to respond to US EPA's concerns, to manage other regulatory programs that we have that are interfacing with CV salts. Irrigated lands has about 1.2 personnel years that are dedicated to bringing the multiple irrigated lands regulatory program orders in line with CV salts, with our regulations. And then solely enforcement related resources is about 0.7 personnel year, and then 0.75 personnel year within the compliance animal facility program to do work strictly related to CV salts. Unless
is that enough staffing there? I'm just inquiring, is there sufficient staffing to address this?
There will be sufficient staffing to address this. These are the people who are watching the numbers right now. Mm-hmm. What we are talking about doing in the slides to come, next slide, is to essentially ramp up those operations as need be to pursue administrative civil liability for non-filers that present a significant threat to water quality and that have actual constructive notice of the program requirements. So the folks that know or should know about this regulatory program may be facing fines from the Central Valley Water Board to make sure that they do come into compliance. Internally at the board's compliance and enforcement, we will be assigning a lead to ensure program accountability. Program accountability means tracking and proposing additional resource needs if needed to track and issue those administrative civil liability complaints. Regular updates on case development in the executive officer reports. These will be provided to you so you can judge how our board is doing at pursuing these violations. We're going to have a focus on disadvantaged communities. Now, the nitrate control program is by its nature focused on disadvantaged communities. For the salt control program, that is going to be the first tier is those salt dischargers that are within disadvantaged communities and having an impact to drinking water sources there. And again, I think the bottom line is the state water board's enforcement prioritization metrics within the state enforcement priority. We'll treat these as priority A violations, impacting the integrity of the regulatory program. And so that's basically at the same level as significant spills and requires the same level of follow-up for those type of actions.
Patrick, question for you. For example, we talk about Allensworth and they didn't have impact to their drinking water. In this program, we'll be able to identify folks that are contributing to issues, and these folks will then have to make sure that that residents there have access to clean drinking water.
Yes, absolutely. And it is solely, I will say the caveat is solely with respect to nitrates. There are a number of water quality pollutants that are outside of our jurisdiction, but this is really where you see a community with nitrate impacts, where you see homes with nitrate impacts, and then you take a look at our GIS layers and you see dischargers that have not responded to repeated notices to comply. Those are the ones that are going to be facing the kind of additional scrutiny under this program.
Okay. Thanks.
Patrick, is there overlap between the people who are not responding to the SALTS letters and the
nitrate? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. I will say, one of the more complex problems is that there are a number of POTWs in disadvantaged communities that are also not responding to salt and nitrate control programs. We have been meeting with them as much as we are able to, but that is a kind of dual problem in that these are facilities discharging and impacting their own residents through nitrate pollution, through salt contamination. So we're going to be working on, in all likelihood, a separate approach for them and see if we can figure out additional compliance options there.
And of the people who are not replying to the notices, is there ongoing conversations? Are they just ignoring it? Is there any outreach and discussion?
Full spectrum. Okay. Full spectrum. There are those folks who are in denial that they are contaminating nitrate contamination and then stop answering our phone calls. There are others that have just never made themselves available. We've got the return receipt that they picked up their mail. They know what's happening, but they are just not responding to board inquiries. And those merit enforcement action. We need to figure out what's going on with them.
No, Chair Bradford covered the questions that I was going to ask, so appreciate that.
All right. Next slide. I think that was just about it. There we go. Good timing.
I think it'll be interesting to see as this enforcement by the next year, 2023, what happens. I think a lot of folks are going to be playing that game of it's not me, it's them. It's not my responsibility. So that's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out.
I will say, so the board's experience with doing an enforcement action similar to this was when we initiated the dairy program, or the kind of our current version of the dairy program. Some of you were part of some of those efforts. There were a number of folks who said, hey, I'm not, they didn't sign up for the dairy program. And so there was a round of many hearings that we had to penalize those people. You can't just dare the board to come after you. You have to pay your fees. You have to get into these programs. And similarly, under the Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program, there was another, we sat in this room probably about 4 years ago, penalizing folks who had not signed up for the Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program, despite numerous contacts from board staff, numerous contacts in many cases from, their own water quality coalitions. Hey, everybody else is paying our fee. You got to kick in too. These water quality regulations are serious business. So we have some analogs that we're kind of working from and going to be working with staff who have been part of those efforts as we roll out this program as well.
I was going to say it might be appropriate to have some peer pressure applied through these industry groups when your neighbor's paying, and nobody likes to pay taxes, but it's a necessary evil concept.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think there's certainly an issue in terms of, equity among our dischargers. You know, we have many dischargers that have stepped up and said, we're paying our fee. We're paying for water testing. We're paying for bottled water. We're going to be paying for other drinking water solutions in the years to come. And we don't want to essentially penalize them by allowing their fellow dischargers to not pay into those programs and not participate in those programs.
Go ahead.
So earlier I saw that, with the sort of elongated arrow that showed all the steps, it looks like legally we followed all the steps. And so are we ready for what we might anticipate are going to be legal challenges if you're overstepping your boundaries? Because as I recall, some of those meetings 4 years ago are exactly that, of the board is overstepping its authority. And so are we prepared for that and getting ready early?
Yeah, so I think really we have a couple parallel tracks. So soil control program, in terms of how we structured the notices and how we did that, much bigger program. We did not send return receipt mail. Didn't have the budget to kind of put that out there. So there will be like one more step that we'll be pursuing to make sure that we have a robust ACL set up. You want the gold standard of we know you knew about this. Here's your signature on the card. You got this order from the board. You have to do something. And the notices to comply, they do have the legal text in them. It actually is an order to do something, to provide the board information. It's got the legal text right on there. We mark it pretty big. This is a legal document. You have to respond to it. So that's kind of one track. There'd be one more step with a salt control program. With the nitrate control program, we did do that extra effort because it was a drinking water program, because it was focused on drinking water in impacted communities. We went the extra mile with that one. It was a lot of staff work putting those out there. But in most cases, we do have kind of signed cards. They have legal notice of this program and of these requirements. And the deadlines have long passed, that we're 6 months out at minimum from most of the deadlines. So that it's past due. It's past due. So the board is within its right to initiate enforcement action on those.
Patrick, I think you did a great presentation. It's important that we go after those that are in non-compliance, specifically because we're trying to correct the water quality situation, and many others are participating. So the administrative civil liability, whatever approach that needs to be taken as a board member, that's what we need to do.
And I think the added features is just really, it's envisioned as kind of its own program, right? You know, we want to make sure that there's a program lead. We want to make sure that there's updates, and we want to make sure that there's accountability, that there is action taken internally to this office that is transparent to all of you and to the public that we are following up on these.
Patrick, is there any history in our region or other region in California that has similar situation where there, you know, consequences that led to maybe fining that please share?
Yeah, no, that's the two cases that I mentioned earlier. We had the big effort under the dairy program. We had a big effort under the irrigated lands regulatory program. There are also efforts that our staff have participated in industrial stormwater. Construction stormwater is one that we regularly get involved in as well. And I think we'll also be leaning on some expertise developed in our cannabis program, which also has done an excellent job at kind of identifying those watersheds or those particular areas using fairly advanced kind of GIS tools of where should we go? Where will we most have the greatest impact to water quality? Where can we focus our enforcement, limited as it is, enforcement efforts to make the biggest splash and change behavior, frankly, is what we're looking to do in the most meaningful way.
Is there a time frame?
It'll be under development. So as you know, there's a separation of functions. You know, it will be up to the prosecutors and largely fall on the shoulders of JJ and Clay to initiate those enforcement actions. But once they've developed the case, you know, it proceeds pretty quickly. After the administrative civil liabilities complaint are issued, that starts a 90-day clock in most instances to have a hearing before the board or to get the thing settled. So that's kind of the time frame. Usually it takes a while for, you know, Office of Enforcement to get engaged, get an attorney up to speed on a particular case or series of cases and get those initiated. But, you know, with this information item here today, this is kind of the kickoff of that phase of the program.
Yeah, great job, Patrick. And yeah, I'd appreciate getting a copy of those slides.
Fantastic.
My
I will.
Pen was running out of ink trying to keep up.
I'll send them out. I mean,
that's great.
You know, I know many of you have seen some of those slides before, but yeah. You know, trying to make sure that everybody's up to speed of how big CV Salts is and how important it is to the board's long-term objectives.
And it seems like you'll have a challenge reallocating your resources for enforcement moving forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, you anticipate that. Yeah.
But certainly what I'm hearing from the board is that's warranted. And that's what I'll take back to my management team and ensure that gets done.
Good. Thank you, Patrick.
All right.
Mindy, do you have any interested persons? Oh, I'm sorry. One more comment here.
Patrick, thank you for that wonderful summary. I really do look forward to working with you on the CV Salts area.
Absolutely.
And I just want to say thank you and the team for a very warm welcome.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Elena. Mindy, are there any interested persons wishing to comment on this agenda item?
Yes, we have one person on Zoom, Michael Claiborne, who is representing the Leadership Council for Justice and Accountability.
Michael, can you hear us?
You may unmute.
I can. Yeah. Good afternoon to the chair and the board. My name is Michael Claiborne, and I'm a directing attorney with Leadership Council for Justice and Accountability. We work with communities throughout the San Joaquin Valley and East Coachella Valley on issues that include access to drinking water. So we've been involved with the CV Salts program for that reason for nearly a decade, not quite to the beginning, but my co-director Phoebe Seaton was involved, I think, going back to about 2011, and I got involved in 2016. So I really appreciated the background that Mr. Palupa provided. And I just wanted to comment on this item to say that we're in support of additional enforcement here. I think it's important to note that CV Salts was a proposal by the regulated community. As Mr. Palupa noted, it allows agriculture and dairies and other dischargers to continue causing or contributing to exceedances of the nitrate water quality objective up to 35 years. But this is contingent upon the requirement for responsible parties to provide replacement water and also to begin to the hard work of coming into compliance with water quality objectives over that period or in as short a period as is practicable for each discharger or category of dischargers. And this structure just doesn't work if some dischargers decline to participate in the replacement water and nitrate control programs. So for these reasons, we are very supportive of the prioritization of enforcement efforts to ensure that dischargers comply with the notices of to comply and file notices of intent. We ask that staff prioritize enforcement for those that have not filed notice of intent for the nitrate control program in particular, and do appreciate the focus on disadvantaged communities. One last point to Board Member Kadara's point around additional staffing. If it is determined that there's a need for additional staffing for enforcement of this program and implementation of ILRP, dairy, and CV salts, we'd be very supportive of that ask. So just let us know how we can help. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. Sounds like we're all in agreement on that one for sure. So if there are no further comments on agenda item 8, I think we're ready to move on. However, maybe we should take a short bio break here, maybe take 5 minutes and be back at 2:45. Well, that was a good 5 minutes. I think I learned a lesson there. Okay, our last agenda item for the day is to consider a resolution commending Dr. Carl Longley's service to the Central Valley Water Board. This is the first in-person meeting we've had in many, many years where we don't have the benefit of Dr. Longley's leadership and experience. As the last item on the agenda today, the board will consider a resolution commending Dr. Longley's decade of service on the Central Valley Water Board. I think it's more than that, actually. Yeah. There are many people here in this room today and participating remotely that would like to pay tribute to Carl's time on the board. We'll start with a presentation of the recognition put together by state board members and Carl's fellow regional board chairs. Then we'll hear from Carl's colleagues on the Central Valley Salinity Coalition and then the Northern California Water Association, who will present Carl with a poster recognizing his receipt of the Crystal Clear Award, awarded to an individual or an entity for their exemplary efforts in improving water quality in the Sacramento Valley. Patrick will then read the text of the resolution that we will be considering today, which will be followed by public comments with members of the board, giving the public 3 minutes to address us. Lastly, I will invite my fellow board members to speak. So first, we will hear from state water board members and Carl's fellow regional board chairs. And it looks like Celeste is going to be the first up.
We have a whole group here.
Okay. Maybe introduce yourselves on the mic and then.
I guess I'll start. Celeste Cantu. I'm chair of the San Diego Regional Water Quality Control Board. I'm not necessarily here in that specific capacity. I'm here as a colleague who worked with Carl for decades, starting when I was the executive officer, executive director of the State Water Resources Control Board. I really was so happy I could be here to honor him. He's well known, of course, for his CV Salts leadership, and before that, his advocacy on salt management, and we called him Dr. Salt. It took years to get up to CV Salt, so it went on for a very long time. Salt, you know, always never sleeps. It continues to move, however slowly. And Carl made sure that he was pushing salt management forward the whole time. A lot of people understand his leadership in environmental justice, and I've always really appreciated that. But what is probably less known to most people is his very wise and very considerate leadership in terms of the institutional design, kind of the structural integrity of all of the water boards, the governance and the design of that governance. And that comes from many years of experience and a lot of thoughtful reflection. And he shared tremendous insight for me when I was executive officer and continues to do so for this day. And there's been many changes in the way all of the water boards are and how we work together, led by his, because of his advocacy. And as the water boards, as an institution, we owe him a tremendous debt of gratitude. You're not going to get that very often because it takes that many years of thoughtful understanding and reflection and relationship building to be able to make those changes. And he was in a position to do it. And I am personally very thankful to him.
Good afternoon. Good to see you all. Dee Dee Diadamo, Vice Chair for the State Board. And I am here to pay tribute to my mentor of many, many years, Dr. Carl Longley. So I first met Carl, I believe it was in 1995, somewhere around there, when I was a congressional staffer and got as one of my assignments to work on water issues. I didn't know much about it. And we all know what that's like to drink out of a fire hose and suddenly to have to work to develop a position. And Dr. Longley has just been a mentor ever since then. I've learned so much. We all have learned so much from you. And I speak from my heart that, you know, not only as a colleague, but to share friendship with you all these years and to learn so much from you about your endless, tireless commitment to water and water quality and making this region and the whole state a better place to protect our waters for all of us, for future generations, and especially your commitment to those in need. And talking about another project that Carl wants to get me involved in. And not too long after he left this board, contacted me about a regional drinking water project, and it's just endless, the amount of initiatives that he's been involved in to make this a better place for all of us. And what I also appreciate, not just his passion, but his collaborative spirit, but also all constantly seeking more information and having the science help guide us so that we can make those difficult decisions based on science, based on balancing, based on community needs. So, Carl, thank you so much. We owe you a debt of gratitude.
And good morning, Nicole Morgan, board member of State Water Board. And so as mentioned earlier in the meeting, I was previously employed with the Central Valley Water Board. I was there, I believe, 2012 to 2018. So I had the honor of working with Dr. Longley and having his support and mentorship while I was there. And after when I moved on to work at the State Water Board to be closer to my home and my family. I just wanted to thank Dr. Longley for the support and mentorship. And, you know, the general permit that comes up, you know, I have to say thank you to Adam. It was Adam's idea. And, he kind of said it just kind of casually one day about it. I said, I think I can make that happen. Many doubted that that could actually occur. And, you know, with the support of the regional board and definitely with, you know, Dr. Longley, of these big ideas that, you know, when you say I'm going to do this and even US EPA says, yeah, no, you can't do that. And you say, yeah, I can do this. And, you know, you start bringing stakeholders together and you really start pushing and going along, knowing that you have that support, type of support from your board chair and from, you know, and that feeds down through management. You know that you can do, you can have these big ideas and you can really work on some great things. It is so powerful being a staff member with that type of support behind you. So I just really want to say thank you so much because of that support and knowing that I could really reach high and do more and have support from the region and through the state. You know, I'm able to be here today and to say thank you.
Hi, I'm Pamela Creedon, and I'm the executive officer for the regional board before Patrick took over. So, and I worked under Carl for 12 years, and I wasn't planning to speak. And boy, I haven't spoken in front of a crowd in so long, I'm nervous. but anyway, I worked as a staff member at regional board many years ago when Carl was on the board then, because he seems like he was always on the board. And I remember my first experience with him where we were enforcing this general stormwater permit against the Port of Stockton. And at that time, we were dealing with a temporary EO because Bill Crooks had just been relieved of his duties. And we made the presentation to the board, and the EO at the time was saying, oh, the board will never go for this. So we reduced what we were recommending. And we went to the board, and Carl was chair at the time, and he came back with the board after a closed session and doubled our fine. So that was my first experience with Carl. And then in 2006, when they appointed me as the EO, I worked with him until I retired in 2018. He was a fabulous boss. He was a fantastic friend, a great mentor. He dragged me around every meeting you could think of. To multi-state salinity coalitions, to the Society of Civil Engineers in Washington, D.C. I mean, we went everywhere to pitch civil engineering issues. I'm a civil engineer. And to pitch salt issues to anyone who would listen to us, and all the crazy people who said we were absolutely out of our minds to think we could do something like CV salts. And to have that come through and to have that presentation today was just outstanding. And I was telling Patrick earlier that even though there's still some non-compliance, the number of people in compliance is really something to be admired. And I credit our good staff for that as well. But I thank Dr. Longley and for all the years that I've known him and his wife, Friedel. They're just wonderful people. I know you'll not see the end of Carl. He'll be around forever dealing with water quality and those issues. So thank you, Carl. I really appreciate it.
I think you should stand up to receive.
Yes. Did you have something? Okay, so Dr. Longley, the state board members and the chairs of all nine regional boards, well, we agree on some things, not all things, but we definitely agree that we all want to honor you for your service and thank you for your friendship and your dedication through the years. So we have this gift for you.
Thank you very much. Am I expected to open
this?
Yes. Well, before I open it, let me say that I don't have many words to say after all of that. I'm very, very humbled. And, you know, the fact that I have been able to contribute, I have to owe to my mentors. As I come down, as I've spent many years before I got to a regional board, it was in my 50s. And while I was on the regional boards, I did run into some of the greatest people. Some of them are standing behind me here. Some of them are seated in the audience. Insofar as CB Salts is concerned, people like Celeste Cantu made it certain that we had a budget for that after it started. Really knocked down a lot of hurdles that were in our way, not only within the water boards, but over in the governor's office as well. There were folks like Pamela Creedon who took a concept and ran with it. And I could go on and on of all the great people that I've encountered on the board. Most recently, Patrick, who just took programs and ran with them. So, you know, it's been an unbelievable time working with an unbelievable group of people. Government is hard to make it work. They made it work. So thank you all very, very much. And I'll open this. And as far as Dee Dee's concerned, we met her back in D.C. while she was working for a legislator. And Dee Dee, you have been a tremendous inspiration yourself over the years. Your understanding of issues and your willingness to step forward and help. So, you know, there's something that I'm not successful at, and that's undoing this. Here we go. There we go. Boy, my grandkids would like to open this present at Christmas the way that it's put together. They could do it in a second. That's a beautiful painting. Thank you very, very much. That definitely is going to be on the wall. Let me show this to you. Whoops. You can see it though.
And I'll just state that this is a painting by a local artist from Fresno, and it's of the San Joaquin River, one of the resources that you've dedicated your life to preserving and protecting.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
Thank you. That was really good. Tribute to Carl, and there's a lot more to come, I believe. I think we're going to hear from the Central Valley Salinity Coalition next, David. And
Chair Bradford, members of the board, my name is David Corey, and Tess Dunham is right over here. We're representing the Central Valley Salinity Coalition group of stakeholders who were sort of we were at the table in CV Salts when it began in 2006. And just wanted to express our appreciation and acknowledgement of all Carl's work in this. I don't think we could say it any better than the folks that spoke previous to us. We echo all those same sentiments. He's a force for huge ideas that result in meaningful water quality improvement. And we all, I think, admire him for that. I just want to put a personal note on it in terms of the force behind that. He's not bashful. in how he goes about things. Back in 2006, and Carl knows where I'm going because he tells this story all the time. Back in 2006, I was at the state board meeting, this joint meeting, when we first came up, the issue of CV salts came up and this salinity management program came up, and he was tasked with leading that by Chair Dodek at the time. And the next board meeting after that, I came up to podium. It was in Rancho Cordova, but on a public participation issue, I was ranting about something that probably talked about hobgoblins or something like that. And at the end of my presentation, Carl looked at me and he said, David, that's all fine and good, but did you bring your check? And he said, look, we're funding this program and you're participating. So he was not bashful about it. And that kind of foresight and force behind it is why the program got started, why it was successful. And thank you very much, Carl, for bringing us all to the table and all the staff that he acknowledges well. Without him and all the staff and all the folks, it wouldn't be a success. Thank you, Carl. So, Tess.
Thank you, Tess Dunham, Conservers and Conway here today. First, I'll give a couple of personal remarks and then a little bit of remarks on behalf of the Salinity Coalition and many of its members that couldn't be here today. And I might even get a little emotional, Carl. So, I first appeared before Carl probably in the late 90s, and I was a young, ambitious lawyer who really didn't know near as much as she thought she did. And now I am here 25 years later. Up until recently, still appeared before Carl, but I was old, I was tired, and I still didn't know near as much as I thought I did. And I will never know as much as Carl does when it comes to the Central Valley, salt, and protecting our communities. He really is just, his care and compassion for the Central Valley and its communities is without none. And I just could hope that we can all live up to the standard that he has set over the years in his, the way that he has operated, his professionalism, his civility, and the fact that he's just a gentleman. And I just appreciate all of the time that I've had appearing before Carl, arguing with Carl, arguing after meetings with Carl, when I didn't always agree with everything he did, but I always respected him and appreciated his viewpoint on everything. And so on behalf of the Salinity Coalition, we do also want to say that, you know, a number of folks from the Salinity Coalition really wish they could be here today. Daniel Kozad, Debbie Webster, and many others wanted to make sure I send along their personal regards, but they're off in Europe doing fun things, which hopefully you'll get to do soon. But I also have a special present I want to present to Carl. Make sure I don't break it. So Carl, on behalf of the Central Valley Salinity Coalition, we'd like to present you with a glass gavel and a base that thanks you for your years of service and leadership. Now I looked up, a gavel is a symbol of authority that it gives you the official right and the capacity as the providing officer. You will always be the providing officer of the Central Valley Water Board and always the presiding officer for salinity and protection of the Central Valley. So on behalf of the Salinity Coalition, we give this to you just as a little memento to thank you for all your time and effort and love for our valley.
Well, I've passed being overwhelmed. I can't describe my feelings here. Thank you very, very much. One time I told, we'd never always agreed, but one time I did tell Tess that if I ever needed a water attorney, it was her. So I have great, great respect for what she has done and what the folks that she represents have brought to the table. At the same time, David was talking about I asking him to write a check. I actually mentioned an amount, $25,000. And I'll be darned if he didn't write the check. So, and that's somewhat an annual check for folks that belong to the Water Coalition. he got us started as people like him, Perry Klassen, who stood up in the beginning, took hold, people like Tess, who provided good leadership from a legal standpoint. Not that we always agreed, but we got there. And I think we got a long journey ahead, but we've got the top of a few mountains to look back on. And we got a lot more mountains to climb, but
I think we're just on the hills. We haven't got to the big mountains. Okay.
You're right. So thank you all very, very much. I cannot, it's very difficult to find words to express my gratitude. Thank you.
Well, Carl's collecting his loot there. which he richly deserves. I think next we're going to hear from Nakwa and probably Bruce. There he is.
Thank you, Bruce Houdershelt, Northern California Water Association. I've had for the last 13 years the privilege of managing the Sacramento Valley Water Quality Coalition, which goes from Solano County up to Redding, makes a hard right to Alturas. So I'm going to start with a story. Anybody who knows me knows I tell stories. It was a snowy day in February of 2009 when I went off to one of those places in the Sacramento Valley which are absolutely pristine. I'd never been there before, but it's on the backside of Shasta. It's on the Pitt River. That day in February, I think along 99, the almonds were blooming and the weather was very different. But I walked into that room and that man right there had traveled all the way to the northeast corner of California to be with the ranchers and the growers in the Northeastern California Water Association. And that is, you've all worked with him, right? That's who he is. Whether it's irrigated lands, which is a program that was breaking ground, whether it was CV Salt and the initiative behind that, whether it's the myriad of programs that you all have to be familiarize yourself with and talk with the folks that are the stakeholders in the process on both sides, whether it's a community water center, whether it's the agriculture, whether it's forestry, whether it's mining. Like you, he always did his homework and he always went the extra mile and made sure that he heard the stories from the people that he regulated. And that's what we cherish about Dr. Longley, and we cherish about each and every one of you as well. I was playing a little mind game as I drove down this morning from Yuba City, and I was trying to remember, let's see how I do, Pamela. There was Bob Steiner, right? There was John Costantino. There was Nicole Bell before she went to the dark side to manage an agricultural water quality coalition. I'm missing a few people in there, but all of you, right? He has been that center for decades. And that institutional memory, which began when he was in the military, Army, right? Remember that, right? As you were an environmental engineer. Did you destroy things or were you a scraper or a grower? Anyway, so his journey on this has been a very long time. So that's a story that starts it off. In 2016 at Northern California Water Association, those of you who've been to our annual meetings, which we very much look forward to having again in person in 2023, know that we give awards out to our folks who don't do things for awards, but do things because it's the ethic of the Sacramento Valley, whether it's the Rice Commission growers or whether it's our water managers. So we started an award for the folks enrolled in the Irrigated Lands Program, and we called it the Crystal Clear Award. And despite our chairman, Bryce Lumberg, wanting to give this fish a crystal, we really just give a, a nice plaque and recognition to the honorees. And so typically that's gone to one of our leaders of our sub-watersheds. It's gone to the Ag Commissioner in Butte County, Richard Price. It's gone to RCDs and others. But you know what? Collectively, everyone appreciated the collaborative nature. And I think David Corey said it well, right? Or Tess said it well. You know, you have a constructive conversation. And that's all we ever asked for. And that's what we got. So I unwrapped it, Carl, because I wasn't sure it actually was in there. Actually, I just took the box out of my office and was hoping that this was in there. But this is what we give to each of our Crystal Clear Award winners. And I'm just going to read something. So we did our annual meeting. We did it in two parts. I think Chair Bradford was on there. Others may have been on there. But we did it by that dreaded virtual platform. And Pam Giacomini, one of our growers in the Hat Creek watershed, just in the shadow of Lassen, made the presentation. I talked less that day than I do today. Did you start the clock on me, by the way? You should have. All right. Anyway, so I was going to be brief, but nobody would have believed it if I'd said it. So anyway, I'm going to say what Pam Giacomini said that day. Rarely does one step forward to lend his professional expertise to serve on a board. It was not just Dr. Longley's 60 years of experience as a water resource engineer, directly supervising or conducting studies on water quality. Adam! not a terrapin. Okay. Anyway, directly supervising and conducting studies on water quality, environmental assessment and policy. But it was his commitment to physically walk the irrigated lands and understand the complexities of the people he regulated that made his knowledge and leadership so valuable to developing practical solutions that advance clean water policy and solutions to the Central Valley. Said, and Pam is a fourth generation Shasta County rancher that hosted Dr. Longley and others a couple of times. So Dr. Longley, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
There's Bruce. That. That's suitable for framing, I believe. I'll let somebody, I've thank got the you, box Bruce. So that the corner stuff gets bent up. So thank you for your service. Call on them often.
Thank you, Bruce. Yes, that was a Zoom meeting and you can, at this point in time, I love Zoom meetings. But in those days, you had to travel far and wide, and one of the good reasons of going up to Northeast California, that is one of the most beautiful places on earth, and I've truly enjoyed the times I've been up there. Did go up there once with some staff out of the renting office, Jim Pedry and his crew in those days to go fishing. We didn't catch anything we didn't catch any fish, but we did catch a polluter. So it worked out well. But it is a real honor to get this award. Award from the folks of Sacramento Valley. They're just like all the people in this valley. They're great people and wonderful people to work with. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bruce.
And Mark, I would suggest we have two people waiting for additional comments. We have Michael Claiborne and Perry Klassen. Michael Claiborne is on the Zoom.
Okay. Yeah, let's bring him up. Okay, Michael, you're all set.
All right. Good afternoon again. I'd just like to say, and others have said this better than I can, so I'll be fairly brief, but Leadership Council for Justice and Accountability supports this resolution. And I'd personally like to thank Dr. Longley for years of service and also all the thoughtful conversations we've had over the years about drinking water source protection. I'd say your door was always open And it's very clear that you care deeply about these issues and have vast knowledge that you brought to these issues. I'd also like to say that both Community Water Center and Clean Water Action are also supportive and asked me to provide their thanks. One particular thing I'd mention is that it wasn't always clear, kind of going to what we were discussing earlier today, that CV Salts was going to include nitrate. And early on, it became clear that we needed to include nitrate, and both Chair Longley and Ms. Creedon, who spoke earlier as well, I think were instrumental in making sure that was included, as well as others in this room. So thank you for that. It was very important that we address the drinking water issues throughout the Valley, and this put us on a footing to start doing that. So thank you very much, Dr. Longley, and wish I was there in person, but glad to have the opportunity to speak a little about our experiences working together. Thank you.
Thank you. And who was next, Patrick? Okay.
Hello, Mr. Chair. Chair Bradford, Perry Clausen. East San Joaquin Water Quality Coalition and Valley Water Collaborative. And I have to give Carl credit, Dr. Longley, credit for that second Valley Water Collaborative. So back in 2009, we're talking stories now. Chair Longley, who knew me from 10 years of irrigated lands program, said, let's meet at Marie Callender's in Fresno. I got to talk to you about something. So I said, Dr. Longley wants to talk to me? Okay, so I went to Marie Callender's. We sit there having breakfast, and Carl said, hey, there's this thing called CV Salts. I need you to be in this. You're representing irrigated agriculture, so I'd like you to come and participate in this organization. He didn't ask for the check at that meeting, but shortly thereafter, there was a request for a check, and we write them every year. So I get there, and there's this big group of people, a huge circle of probably 30 people sitting around a corner. I tucked myself in a corner and watched for a year or so, and then next meeting I came to, they needed a new chair. So in 2011, I think it was, and sorry, those dates are starting to run together. They asked me to be chair of CV Salts Executive Committee. So for the next 11 years, I sat as chair of that meeting. And the way it was set up was, it was myself, Tim Moore, Pamela Creedon, David Corey, and Carl Longley. And then the group, the rest of the stakeholders around the group. And he would be there every day. He'd fly in his little airplane. Somebody always had to go pick him up at the airport. And he showed up at all these meetings, not paid. He was a volunteer. He came to these meetings. And these are not meetings that are just so exciting. You sit there on the edge of your chairs. They were technical. I learned more about water law in these meetings. I think I could be, I could play it on TV for sure, but it was incredibly in-depth. And Carl's there the whole time, and he's Mr. Rudder. This guy is sitting here, this doctor, and we get off. There was more rabbit holes in these meetings than you could count on my farm that I have down by Reedley. We fall in rabbit holes so easily. And Carl was always one that would bring us back. CV salts, nitrates, we got to focus on these types of activities. So I talked about Carl being around the table. Well, sometimes he wouldn't come. No one would sit in his chair. They would leave that chair open because that's Carl's chair. Anyway, so it's been great. Carl's led us through this. Who would have thought when we came up with the nitrate control program, that was just blue sky. But Carl kept bringing us back to, we've got to figure out a way to accomplish this without the hammer that sits there on the gavel with these enforcement. We've got to keep ag and cities in business and operating and keep this community, this valley, vibrant. So Carl gets a lot of credit for that. And there's one thing about Carl I know is that he's got ideas in his head right now that he's turning around. I get calls out of the blue. Here's Carl calling again. I want to talk about. But he's got these great ideas. And Celeste alluded to them. And there's ideas that are way out there that you think, who could come up with this stuff? But Carl has got this institutional memory of how stuff works. And that's a rare thing in this world. So with Carl, I think we can count on that. We know he's going to continue contributing to the prioritization and optimization study to nitrate control program, because he's already 20 years ahead of us where we're going to need to be on this. So, you know, I think we can all say to Carl, you know, not so long, but we'll see you around, Carl. And I don't have Carl's award right now, my little thing, because plants are just going in the ground next week. And in 75 days, I will have the biggest watermelon to bring to Carl. He's my favorite watermelon eater, I think, that I have. Right, Carl? He would always go home with one in his trunk after CV salts. So thank you, Carl, for all the years. Thank you.
I have to reply to that if the chair will allow.
Absolutely.
Oh, wait, I got to tell one more story. So we're sitting in CV salts, and I'd always get to say, Dr. Longley, your time is up. Sorry.
First of all, there was that person who would glare at me when I was going the wrong way. She's sitting behind me now, probably glaring. So Mark, I learned something I'll pass on. When the EO is trying to make eye contact with you up there, you turn your chair so that you can't see him. It works. But I think also something that just tells of a group that really was so far apart when they began. And when it came to the point that we were getting the language back in 2017, 18, that was going in front of the board, Tess was arguing with Patrick, who was our chief counsel then, about who wrote it. And this language, they had come close enough together. They sometimes had a difficult time on did Tess write it, or did Patrick's folks write it? You know, who was responsible? And I think that shows the way that we had worked together and finally came to, we were all on the same page. It was a great experience, and you don't get those kind of experiences much in life. But these guys are some of the best guys in the world to work with. And I only hope as you progress further, you're going to find folks like this to work with in the years ahead. One last thing to say. I feel kind of old after this. There were two folks that spoke to you today. And both of them were graduates of mine. They were young and bright, and now they're retiring. Doug was one of those. And the only thing worse than that is when you're working with the daughter or son of one of your graduates, and you know, you think, oh my God. Anyway, best of luck to all of you. I know you're going to do a wonderful job in the future. The regional board always has. And you're going to find new challenges, but I know you're up to them. Thank you very much.
Very good. So we do have a couple more resolutions for you. And I see JP Cataviera is also available to speak as well.
Is he on Zoom?
He is on Zoom.
Yeah, we should bring him up.
Here he goes.
I'm on. Can you hear me?
Yes, we do.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay, great. I'm sorry I'm not there in person, but I did want to chime in on behalf of Dairy Cares and the Central Valley Dairy Representative Monitoring Program to congratulate Carl on the honors and good comments that you're hearing today and all that you've accomplished. I sure can't add much to all that's been there, but I did want to provide, you know, kind of perspective from the dairy industry on this. Our industry is not without its challenges. And we are working very hard to improve our performance in the area of water quality. What I've appreciated about Carl as I've worked with him over the number of years now is that he has been a partner and a leader in trying to find solutions and not to expect folks to do everything themselves or figure it out for all for themselves, but also to try to help create these pathways as a leader that help us. Three things that really stick out for me are his ability to bring stakeholders together. And I think that is very helpful in getting solutions that will work. The CV Salts process to me was one of the best stakeholder processes I've ever participated in. And I think as a result, we got a much better regulation out of it than we would have without that process. The second accomplishment is in fact this very, I think he didn't do it himself all by himself, but he sure was the leader of it. And that is this very innovative and creative solution that we call CV Salts that, is hard to explain to people, but I think will allow industries that might have otherwise had to exit California to have a path forward and be able to continue to be here while improving their performance. And then lastly, Perry's comments really struck home for me many times over the years. He has made specific suggestions, technologies, ideas, people that we should talk to, systems that he's heard about. He shares his information about what's going on the cutting edge. And while not every single idea obviously is going to work out for everyone, we've gotten a lot of great ideas and we've pursued a lot of innovation and where the first time we heard about it was from Carl. And I just want to say how much I appreciate that. That's all I have.
Thank you. All right, we read state lands first, maybe. Sure. Okay. Why? Needs more water. I'll read this sitting down.
So this was I had the fortune of working with our legislative affairs coordinator and as proposed by a number of the fellow chairs to get a proclamation from the California State Senate for your service, and Mark will read it.
Okay, so Carl Longley, whereas a consummate public servant and renowned leader in the fields of public health, engineering, and water resources, whose more than 60 years of professional engagement include military service, research, teaching, and diverse administrative, advisory, and appointive roles, Dr. Carl E. Longley, chair of the Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board, is retiring after a remarkable 30-year tenure, including 17 years as board chair. And in honor of his many contributions to the board and state of California, he merits both appreciation and acclamation. And whereas a Golden State native who has spent most of his life in Tulare and Fresno counties, Dr. Longley grew up on a farm in the former county, where he developed a keen awareness of the relationship between agriculture and the environment. And having completed a BS degree in civil engineering and an inaugural stint in public service as a junior civil engineer with the Department of Water Resources, he enlisted in the United States Army. And whereas during his active duty tenure from 1960 to 1984, Dr. Longley rose from second lieutenant to lieutenant colonel while working as an environmental engineer officer in sanitary and environmental health engineering in U.S. and various overseas postings, received a Master of Science degree in sanitary engineering and water resources, and Doctor of Science degree in Environmental Health Engineering, and taught at Tulane University and the University of Texas at San Antonio. And whereas a registered professional engineer in California, Dr. Longley worked after his return to the state with private engineering companies in Tulare and Fresno counties during the early 1980s and began his over 40-year affiliation with Cal State University Fresno in 1982 as a professor of civil engineering. And in the ensuing decades, he taught and held a number of leadership positions, including Dean of the College of Engineering and Computer Science, while also initiating his ongoing more than 30-year affiliation with CSU Fresno's California Water Institute, beginning with his role as its inaugural director from 1990 to 2004. Whereas for 30 years, the regional board has benefited from the peerless leadership and expertise Dr. Longley has shared through his contributions to crafting tertiary treatment and nitrogen removal requirements for nearly all publicly owned Sacramento San Joaquin Delta treatment works, and guiding the board through development of the irrigated lands regulatory program and agreements that resulted in contaminated site cleanup on military bases. And whereas, additionally, through his steadfast leadership on behalf of the Salt and Nutrient Management Plan, one of the regional board's most far-reaching and significant planning efforts, Dr. Longley ensured the implementation of source control programs and mitigation that, by addressing nitrates in drinking water, have improved the quality of life in numerous Central Valley communities. And upon concluding his board tenure, he leaves a singular legacy of dedication and beneficial engagement. Now, therefore, be it resolved by Senators Andreas Borges, Anna Caballero, and Melissa Hurtado, and Assembly Members Joaquin Arambula, Frank Bigelow, and Jim Patterson, that upon completing 30 years with the Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board, Dr. Longley be commended for his stellar record of leadership and public service in the state of California, and extended best wishes for the success of his future endeavors. I wasn't kidding about need more water.
And if that wasn't enough, we finally have a resolution proposed by your fellow board members for you today. I'll also kind of draw your attention and everybody's attention to the room, to the small little plaque at the entrance. There's a few words written upon it, a number of words written upon it, and this was actually Mindy's idea. We put it out to staff in a survey, the three words that they thought you most embody as chair of the board. We had about 150 people respond, and that is a word cloud of board staff's opinion that have worked with you over the years, and the fact that it's about 150 speaks volumes there. What jumps out at anybody looking at it initially is dedicated, which is easily the most cited word. A couple of dozen people mentioned that one. Knowledgeable and fair. But if you look at the entire cluster of words out there, what I would encourage people to look at was the words that embody the compassion that you brought to your role. Words like honorable, compassionate, loving, caring, considerate, conscientious, supportive, and passionate. Those appear not just to the outside stakeholders that interact with you, but to the staff that served at the regional board during your tenure. And it is my pleasure to present this resolution as executive officer, and certainly my endorsement of all of those words, because when I've worked with you both as an attorney and as executive officer, I noted not just your intelligence and dedication, but your compassion. Certainly one of my biggest projects I worked with early in your tenure was the board's methylmercury control program. At the time, US EPA commented that it was the most complex TMDL that had ever been adopted in the entire 50 states. A methylmercury control program that was highly technical in nature, but you were instrumental in bolting onto that program a secondary program to protect those people most vulnerable to mercury contamination, And your insistence upon that and your compassion, with which you understood and listened to the communities that were impacted, the subsistence fishers in the Delta, really made an impression upon me as a value that I would strive towards throughout my legal career and now in this role as executive officer. So it was with a lot of gratitude for the faith that you put in me that I present this resolution here today, which is proposed by your fellow board members. And I will read through that, and then board members can comment, and you can comment as well. Whereas Dr. Longley was first appointed to the California Regional Water Quality Control Board Central Valley Region in November of 1989 by Governor George Duke Majan to serve as a board member representing the public, and this term was completed in November of 1997. Whereas Dr. Longley was reappointed to the Central Valley Water Board in December of 1999 by Governor Gray Davis and served continuously until November of 2021, completing 3 decades of service. And whereas Dr. Longley served on the board for 3 decades, serving as chair of the board for 17 years, providing steady and sure guidance through lean times and times of prosperity. And whereas during his tenure, Dr. Longley always sought to listen to and understand the concerns of the countless people affected by the board's actions, from disadvantaged communities seeking safe, clean, and affordable water to businesses developing new and innovative regulatory solutions, from violators defending themselves in hearings to policymakers working to address critical water quality concerns throughout the Central Valley. And whereas Dr. Longley has set an extraordinary example of selfless public service for his fellow board members, other regional board chairs, and elected and appointed officials throughout the state, volunteering his time and expertise to statewide coordination efforts that have included chairs meetings, water quality coordinating committee meetings, the governor's drinking water stakeholder group, policy discussions with legislators, and other work groups and committees too numerous to count. And whereas Dr. Longley has demonstrated a lifelong commitment to water quality as an engineer, scholar, and public servant, and as a founding director of the California Water Institute at California State University, Fresno, continues to form partnerships to advance the interest of water quality and water equity. And whereas Dr. Longley served as a professor of civil engineering at California State University, Fresno, from where he has taught many future leaders throughout state government and in the private sector, and whereas through his leadership on the board, he has been instrumental in advancing numerous wastewater treatment plant upgrades, complex projects such as the Delta Methylmercury TMDL program, the development of the largest agricultural non-point source program in the nation, the Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program, and establishing CV Salts Regulatory Program, an innovative stakeholder-led effort to strategically address salinity accumulation in the Central Valley and to ameliorate nitrate contamination while providing safe replacement drinking water to affected communities and individuals. Whereas during his time on the board, Dr. Longley has worked to set in motion projects, advocated for capital improvements, and developed pioneering regulations that will continue to benefit water quality and human health for many, many years into the future. And whereas in his decades of service to the board, Dr. Longley has traveled more miles via air, land, and boat than any other regional board member, exhibiting an indefatigable commitment to engage with and understand the perspective of the millions of people, thousands of communities, and diverse dischargers who inhabit the vast and complex ecosystems encompassed by the board's jurisdiction, always in a spirit of compassion and empathy. Therefore, be it resolved that the members of the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, Central Valley Region, in meeting assembled, do hereby extend to Dr. Longley their thanks and appreciation for his valued years of service as a board member, board chair, board vice chair, mentor, and friend. Be it further resolved that this board and its staff wish Carl happiness and fulfillment in all future endeavors, with knowledge that Carl will surely remain an indomitable presence in his community and before the board, tirelessly working for the benefit of water quality in the Central Valley. Thank you so much, Carl.
Thanks, Patrick. Well, we have a chance now. All the board members get to say their piece to Carl. And I'm sure Carl will wrap it up with his statement at the end. So I don't know who'd like to go first. Carmen?
So Dr. Longley, you and I have worked together for a long time. And I want you to know that when you see those words on there at the entrance, the words I contributed were super good looking. Those are the three words. So look for those. They're out there. You know, I've learned a lot from you, and I've had a tremendous amount of professional development, sitting next to you and learning from you. I've learned how to run a meeting and be confident in, the positions that we take here at the Water Board. Today, I learned that the next time David Corey makes a public comment, I'm going to ask him for $25,000. That's going to work out great. In addition to all those things, you know, you're the way that you always let me ask questions about technical issues and explain them to me patiently was really valuable. I don't think that I would have stayed on the board if I couldn't call you up and rely on not feeling dumb when I wasn't sure of where things were. You were my buddy on Senate confirmations. You and I got to do those together and make our rounds together. You always laughed at my jokes, and you know, I think that's one of the best parts of our friendship. But no, seriously, I'm honored to have sat next to you for so many years, and I'm grateful for our friendship, and I'll be texting you. So congratulations, and thank you for everything you've done for me personally and for the people of the state of California.
Dr. Longley, I used to be one of the newest board members, but as you can see, I don't have that title anymore. A little resentful, no, just kidding. But I wanna say, first of all, this is what my kids would say, Dr. Longley, you're the GOAT. And if you all know what that means, greatest of all time. But I wanna, everything everyone has said today is so true. I mean, you're intelligent, you're smart, you're compassionate, you have a heart. You have found your life's passion, and we all try to find our passion in life. You have exemplified somebody who's found that, and that shows in all the work you do. But I want to share something on a personal note. You know, when we're asked to join the board and we go through Senate confirmation and they ask you all these questions, one of the questions is, why do you want to be on the Water Board? And for me, my answer was, well, I'm a first generation. I'm from India. And I remember going to India when I was 8 years old. And it was beautiful. It was wonderful. I went back when I was 19, total opposite situation. Couldn't drink the water in the village we were from. Air pollution was horrible. And I was shocked to see how fast that quality of life degraded, right? In this village that my family grew up in. You couldn't drink the water. People had cancer. And when people talk about how wonderful America is and how we are on the cutting edge of this high quality of life, I want you to understand it's because of people like you. It's not this idea somewhere. It's actually folks like you who are passionate about what you do, who make this country great, who make so many immigrants want to come here for that better quality of life. That's what you've done with your life's work. And it's been an honor to sit next to you and watch you in action. And as somebody who has a science degree, I can't tell you how unintelligent I feel sometimes sitting here listening to all the technical information that's here. But Carmen is right. You never make us feel less than or that we don't understand what we're doing. And you have a heart, but I also want to tell everybody, when Dr. Longley's handling somebody who's been a violator, it's a sight to see. He really puts him on notice, and I so respect that about you. And again, this has just been so wonderful to grow with you and learn from you. And you are what we all aspire to be. Like you are the GOAT. So, and thank you so much. That's what I had to say.
I'll go here and we'll just go down the line. I'll tell a little story to kick it off too. I lived in San Francisco in the 80s, and my wife and I used to go to comedy clubs quite often. And there was one club in particular where Robin Williams would occasionally show up. And he would just bounce up on stage and interrupt the proceedings and go off for 20 minutes and just bring the house down. And I kind of equate professionally, you're the Robin Williams of the water business, and I'm the comic that came on after you, the clown that came on after you. But I've learned so much. I think I can make it through this this new role that I have, and I appreciate your support and encouragement, and what kind of got me here. I have to back up a little bit and say, you know, it's nice to be giving this commendation to you here, as you put it, in the grand and glorious metropolis of Fresno. I think that's how you always describe this. And, you know, to Perry's point, we had a meeting yesterday at Marie Callender's as well and had a beer. This must be a tradition there somehow. But, you know, I think Carl's expertise and experience is obvious to everybody. What strikes me is his ability to be a stern diplomat and kind of rope people together that otherwise wouldn't necessarily be talking. It's pretty difficult to get farmers to sit down and write a check and then to be happy about it after, and to commend Carl for bringing them to the table. And, you know, I think that's a real talent that very few people have. And you do it with, I guess your experience as an educator plays in there. You've really taught me a lot. And I think a lot of people here have benefited from your mentorship. I've only known you for 3.5 years. And, you know, I don't think I could be where I am without having listened to your leadership at the board meetings and then individual meetings and conversations that we've had. So I really appreciate that. I think you're a visionary. I think Perry mentioned you're 20 years ahead of everybody else. And what are we going to do with the salt once we get this program implemented, for instance? You're very strategic. You're generous with your time. And you're a man of action. You get things done. You don't just sit there and talk about it. Things happen. And finally, I guess I would point out, you've always maintained a sense of humor, even when sometimes the meetings get long and the going gets tough. You've managed to keep the ball rolling and do it with grace and professionalism. And I think the public appreciates that. And I know we all appreciate it. And I look forward to a lot of more conversations with you, because I'm going to have a lot of questions. So thank you, Carl.
Well, Dr. Longley, I'm kind of at a loss for words. When I first got on this board, I had no idea what I was encountering. I served as a city planner for many, many years. And I asked one colleague, it's like, what is it going to be like serving on the water board? He said, well, Denise, you know, you did the planning commission and city council meetings. It's going to be like planning commission on steroids. And it's like, and I came in and I really felt that way. But Dr. Longley was sitting on my left and Bob Schneider was sitting on my right. And they both calmed me down and said, you have a role to play here. Take it easy. You know, don't be too upset about it. And I remember the first day, the agenda items, I refused to vote. I was still stunned about being on the board. But he kept reassuring me. He kept encouraging me. He, you know, said, you have a lot to contribute. We need a planner on the board that thinks the way you think. And I'm so glad that he said that, because I didn't feel isolated from being on the board. I didn't feel alone. I felt a part of the board. And he did that for me. We've heard the word mentor. We've heard the words that he's taught so many people, and one of them just left. You know, he's played a role in all of our lives. The leadership that he's displayed at the board, nobody can take that away from him. I mean, he has been the example for all of us to follow. And over the period of time that I've been on the board, the problem I just had recently with the water situation, the first person I called was, Dr. Longley, tell me what I need to do. And he put me right. He told me exactly what to do, and I did it, and things clicked just like that. But he was there to call, and he was able to give me those answers. And he's just been a great resource and just a wonderful person. And he's fun. Everybody has said those things, but you know, I just don't know, you know, when he stepped down from the position, he said in October, Denise, you're going to be the chair of the, I said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. And he called me right after Thanksgiving to say, you're the new chair. And I said, what? I was stunned. I didn't even know. He said, but you can do it. And I'm right here if you need me. And I got through those couple of months, but I really want to just thank you for being the encouragement for me to do what I've done. You said, stay in your lane. There's a role that you play, and you've allowed me, you gave me that, and I've been able to do it. And I thank you. God bless you.
Hi, Dr. Longley. Hi. Oh, thanks, Nick. I'm really bummed I didn't get to work with you, but I just want to say, you know, meeting all your friends and everyone you've mentored, I want to say you've left quite a legacy here. And, you know, I just had an 11-month-old, and I just want to say thank you for all your contributions and your service to us, because now my daughter gets to benefit from that as well. And just want to say thanks.
Well, I'm not going to say anything earth-shaking. I mean, it's pretty awe-inspiring to hear what everyone has to say about you, Dr. Longley. It's a testament to the life you've led and the achievements you've made in making the world a better place. And I have to say, Raji, your comments really resonated with me as well. It's something I think about often, being the son of immigrants that came to this country because they wanted a better life. I can't begin to say how much of a privilege it is to be in this country and to reap the benefits of the many that came before us. And Dr. Long, I can't say enough how much your contributions have made this world a better place and this institution really something that is going to be long lasting and frankly beyond obviously your life. And that's the point of an institution and the difference it can make in people's lives. You know, frankly, I truly believe that government can make a difference in people's lives. It does make a difference in people's lives. You know, our valley is a better place for it, and the physical environment is a better place for it from your contributions. You really are a giant, and thank you for the opportunity, I think, all of us to stand on your shoulders. So thank you.
Well, good afternoon. What a magnificent day. You know, days like this doesn't come too often. And I just want to say thank you to everybody for being here, especially the ones that didn't really need to be here, but they chose to be here to honor a very honorable man, Dr. Longley. You know, we all play a part, and that is volunteering, public, you know, servants. And when all of us come together to honor a man like you, who has spent decades and decades of volunteer work, and it just very, to be nerve-wracking in a way, just saying it, because, you know, I'm don't want to call you old, but I'm half of your age, and I have participated in serving the community. And I know how much it takes for me to have to be able to do what I do with the sacrifice that my family have to put up for me to do what I do for the public for just a few years. And then now, compared to you, you have done decades and decades. And that's, for me, I can't even put into words the dedication that you have done and committed. And then your family had to commit it right along you or beside you or next to you. That is just magnificent. And when I think of you, you know, I think of, you know, words like leader, mentor, friend, trailblazer, and mostly people's champion. Because I hear Patrick was mentioning the number of staff who contribute in choosing words that represent you. And I'm glad that Patrick threw all the other ones in there, because those three words, like, what did you say? Fear, dedication, courage, maybe. But those were great. But I'm glad that Patrick threw all the other ones in, because hearing all of that, you know, it just makes me, I wouldn't say value you, but I put you in a place where, you know, the ultimate pedestal. And that is the honest truth. That's where you belong, not because you say so, but because of people like Patrick, people like all the employees that you have worked with and your colleagues have put you there. And, you know, I know you're a very short time, but you have displayed that kind of leadership, that kind of mentorship to me by calling me out of the blue and introduce yourself and kind of navigate where I need to go as a new board. And that is a testament of your greatness and your humbleness as well. And I just want to thank you for serving millions of people and make this country a better place. And I too, an immigrant, and I know exactly what Nick and Roger was alluded to. So thank you very much. And in our culture, we always say this, may you be blessed to live up to 120.
There's no way I can begin to answer all those kind words. I do have a few comments, though. Carmen and Roger were talking about all the technical language and so forth. And when the attorneys got up in front of us, I was really happy to have you there. So it works both ways, you know. In fact, I learned a new legal term today. It's called the naughty list. That's, and Nick, you know, another attorney on the board. Well, sometimes you can't have enough of them around. So, as far as countries that you folks have come from, I've been in the Punjab. I had in Punjabi. I had the honor of working with others to start an engineering program there, and beautiful area. Great people, very, very friendly people. Under less favorable circumstances, I was in Vietnam, but still really enjoyed working with the people there. Haven't made it to Greece yet, so, but we have some of the folks that I work with in CV Salts. Daniel Kozat, as an example, is there right now. Daniel's supposed to bring back some great pictures from Greece. I'm sure he will. Denise, it's been an unbelievable honor working with you and continuing to work with you on a concept we hope that we can bring to fruition that will develop the scale that's needed for disadvantaged communities working together to be able to have affordable drinking water and other services that they need. We'll get there, I'm sure. Mark, you're an inspiration to me. You've been really a force behind the scenes for the time you've been on the board, and I appreciate the effort that you've given the board. It'll continue to serve you and the board well down the road. Lena, we did not have a chance really to even meet formally, but I've heard some unbelievably good things about you, and I'm sure the talent you bring to this board is going to help this board in the years to come tremendously. So with that, thank you very much. And as I said before, good luck. You're going to have a great future.
Well, thank you, Carl. And I know you're a humble man and you're probably embarrassed by all these compliments that you've gotten. So we're going to adjourn and go have a beer. And I think, does Jessica have the details on that? Or
we can formally adopt the resolution.
Oh, yes, we can do that. Can I have a motion to adopt this resolution?
I'll move it. I'll second.
We have a motion by Nick, and Denise is seconded. Mindy, could you take the vote?
Board Member Lee Reeder?
Aye.
Board Member Brar?
Yes.
Board Member Ramirez?
Yes.
Board Member Yang?
Yes.
Board Member Abdus?
Yes.
Vice Chair Kadara?
Yes.
And Chair Bradford?
Yes. So the motion's adopted, the resolution's adopted, I should say. And now, I think, we can have some explanation about where we're going and what we're doing.
Just to, we will be adjourning have dinner at 6 p.m. No board business will be discussed, but we'll just be celebrating Carl.
Great. I want to thank everybody who did come today. I know some of you came from a long ways to honor Carl, which he richly deserves. And hopefully y'all can stay tonight and have a little celebration over some libations and food. Okay. So thanks again.
Yeah. And I'd just like to briefly comment as what Mark just said, to thank all of you for coming out and support for Carl. And this is our first meeting back. And I'm so glad to see the staff. I didn't like seeing the EO with the foot problem, but he's here and we're glad to see him. We're glad to see all of you, to see our board members that we've not seen and met. And always, as I'd like to say, to compliment our staff for the excellent job that you all do. And you've handled this pandemic well, and everything stayed on course. If it didn't, we didn't know about it, but you did an excellent job. And so I just want to commend all the staff members. And thank you all for being here with us today.
Thanks, Denise. Okay, we'll see y'all tomorrow or tonight.
Okay, I'm going to end the meeting.
3 AGP team.
Yeah.
And thanks, Roberto. Appreciate all your help.
All right. See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
9 a.m. or
9? Got it.
Bye.